If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Yeah, that's hot. You take it. You take it now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you like that, don't you, bitch? I'm a bad boy. Yeah, take that.
At your age, you're going to be having a lot of urges. You're going to want to take off your clothes and touch each other. But if you do touch each other, you will get chlamydia and die.
He's an in-the-box player, and that time he was in the box with the eighth guy up.
I am a sex machine. Sex machine.
You see that? I mean, there's no penetration at all.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby.
All you have to do if you have, you know, one good finger is you just use your finger like this, see? And it just goes like that, and you put it here like this.
I want you now.
And now.
He looks like he's handling that area pretty well tonight.
Our feature presentation.
Detmer takes the snap. The kick is away. It's got the distance. It's gone! It's gone! And the Eagles head for New Orleans.
Have you ever heard worse audio in your life?
It's not good.
But the Eagles won.
And that's good news for those of us that have to work with Ralph.
That's right.
That's all that is, right?
That's all anyone thinks about.
That's code for good week or bad week.
Yep. Exactly.
Oh, and King of Mexico, how about those Lakers? Okay. Back to you. It's good morning, everybody. It's Kevin Amin Show. It's Monday, and it is the 8th of January.
Well, we're talking about football over the weekend, by the way. We ought to mention there was another game that some of us on the Kevin Abid Show were fascinated with. Let's see how that one ended. Oh, that's just the wrong button altogether.
The Cowboys are done. The Seahawks go on.
Oh, interesting.
What a surprise that was.
The Cowboys, who last won a playoff game in 1996, Psycho Mike, looks like they're done for another season. How about that?
Yeah.
We might have to schedule in a break to talk about Psycho Mike, because he's the worst fan ever.
He sure is.
Of Cowboys, not of Lakers or Dodgers.
No, but you've been a Cowboy fan for how long?
I don't know, maybe 9 years, 10 years.
9, 10 years.
Until they're not good.
Until they're not good, and then he's like,
wait,
you know
no,
what?
Wait, no,
and
no,
by
no,
the way,
no,
it wasn't even at the beginning of the season. If you're going to make this kind of decision, you make it in the off season. You say, okay, I'm not that interested in a team anymore. I'm not going to give them my support. You don't do it just as they head into the playoffs when you think they're going to lose.
It's like working with window lickers. It's not even at all what happened. By the way, and if you can say you have to stick with them when they're not good, I sat through two seasons ago when they were much worse than they were this season, and I didn't.
Wow, you're a hell of a fan.
I'm just saying.
You sat through one bad season?
Nothing to do. There was many bad seasons since they last were their dynasty.
So what happened this year?
It's that I, out of respect for other real Cowboy fans, said I need to find a new team because I really just I'm noticing that I don't have the same passion that I do for, say, the Dodgers or the Lakers. I just don't care as much.
And you noticed that as they were heading into the playoffs?
No, actually, I really started noticing it when they were supposedly on their upswing, when Romo was supposedly their savior, T.O. was catching touchdowns. Everything looked fine. I just said, you know, even now, I still find myself rooting more for, say, even the Eagles or the Saints, just, you know, for Ralph's sake or the Saints because of the whole Katrina deal. I'm just not that big a fan. So I said, you know, out of respect for real fans, I'm going to cash in my chips.
Well, you're a weirdo.
Wow. No, that's big of him, B. Let's give him the credit that's due. I mean, he's thinking about others. And that's what I like about him.
That was the most embarrassing loss possible Saturday night.
I was fully expecting, they kill you in Denver if you lose a playoff game, right? You've heard that in the news, right? I was fully expecting that Tony Romo would somehow be beat to death Sunday. I really was. I didn't think he would survive getting back to his home in Dallas after that performance.
Well, those of you that don't follow the sport, it is playoff time, so as soon as the team loses, it goes home. And wow. Seattle, I think they had 1,000 people injured. I'm pretty sure they had 1,000 people injured. A lot of the fans are on the injured reserve list. That's how bad they are.
If you ever played college ball, they advise you to bring pads if you come to the game because they may actually call you in.
And
they did have one guy that they got literally. You see these stories every couple of years. They did have one guy who was retired, and they called him up like a week ago. He was watching the game in a bar somewhere, and now he was playing yesterday.
Really? What position? He had to be a kicker.
Saturday. He wasn't a kicker. I think he was a cornerback, to tell you the truth.
Really?
And then they had another guy on the practice squad who they put in the game for the first time, I think. It was just, it's crazy. Yeah, they got no personnel left. But it helps when you play a team like the Cowboys because they'll help you. They'll do their part.
And then people like Psycho Michael jump off the bandwagon and everything works.
Sure.
Everything works just like it is every year.
I was watching that, remember, at the Kings game because it was the K-Rock tailgate party Saturday night. And as that unbelievable play happened, as the Cowboys just crumbled right before your eyes, I was watching it kind of at the bar area, and there's, you know, I don't know how many Seattle fans. I don't know if they're Seattle fans, but they're certainly Cowboy haters.
Of course, yes.
And everybody's plenty screaming and yelling, and one of them happened to be in a Detroit Red Wings jersey. And so I start screaming at this guy, and I'm yelling, just shut your mouth, go back and root for your faggy Red Wings, da-da-da. And it turned out, I saw that guy later, Kings ended up winning. So
yes,
there was some
4-2.
Justification.
Thank God. I thought he was going to kick your ass later in the night.
I know. It wasn't looking good, really. It's going to be a bad
Kevin, you must have enjoyed the game. I know you love it when the Red Wings come to town. You must have just been all over that Kings game.
Yeah, it was good times.
I was in Phoenix for a wedding.
Oh, what?
A wedding?
So it was my nephew's wedding, and so I go, and we're sitting at the table, and I find the bar that's outside of the
of course you do
room, and you know where they're showing the game, but they don't have the Kings game on. They are showing the Dallas-Seattle football game, which is good, but it's not the Kings,
right?
But then I'm searching all over the place. I go back in and sit down and act like I'm all into it, and sneak back out and go look for another. Hey, can you get the Kings game? No, oh damn it! Go back in, sit down, act like I'm interested. You know, that kind of thing. But
I'd be surprised if a Los Angeles Detroit game was on TV in Phoenix.
I know that was the problem, is that they weren't showing it because no one there cared, obviously.
Hey, when you saw your nephew, did you ask him what it do?
I didn't,
because you don't get a chance to do that very often.
I didn't. I didn't see the tie-in. I didn't see why I would want to do that.
Yeah, I got you. Lisa, how was your weekend besides watching tons of sports?
Well, yeah, that obviously occupied a lot of my weekend. I had a great weekend. I went to see The Queen. Not the movie, The Queen.
All the way
not
to Lias?
The Queen.
Oh.
Hello, Lisa. I am a blue blood. I'm better than you. What do you think, Lisa?
I think Helen Mirren's amazing. She was great. Yeah, and it really
sure
brings back the shock of when Princess Diana died. I'd kind of forgotten about what that was like and how unbelievable that time was, but it really was so shocking when that happened.
Yeah. That's in this movie?
Yeah,
that's what the whole movie's
about.
It's about the week after Diana's death. Yeah,
how Buckingham Palace reacts to it, and the public outcry when they do nothing.
Yeah,
they almost do negative nothing. And then I saw this great show called
Can You Do Negative Nothing?
13 at the Tabor. I mean, like they almost went out of their way to do. They wouldn't even put the flag at half-mast at the palace.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
That's negative nothing.
Yes.
And then I went to my pole dancing class.
Oh,
which was
now we're
way
talking.
Fun.
Now we're getting
now
someplace.
We're talking.
That is quite a little sport there.
It's hard work, right?
Hard work, by the way.
Yeah, those girls are pretty talented, I have to say. We did the most basic of moves, and you know, you understand how hard it is to be really good on a pole. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to work some muscles. You got to.
From what we hear, you've never had a problem with the pole. From what we
and
hear.
Being good on
this
it,
this is
too,
a bigger pole than I've ever dealt with.
Wow.
To say.
Wait,
size matters.
Are you, do you have pain everywhere?
No,
are you
sore? No.
Sore?
No.
No, of course not.
No.
All right.
Because,
what time is that? I'm looking at the schedule. What time is Lisa
today
at the pole dance? Oh,
it's
how dare
today
you? How dare you?
We'll get to it.
We'll get
when's
to
the
it. When are we going to get to that? What else
now
do we have in this show that's more important, for God's sake?
Nothing.
I'm sure there's something.
Negative nothing.
Hello, I'm the queen. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show. It's Monday. We have Petros Papadakis coming in, talking about the national championship in college football, which is tonight.
Right.
Talking about Ohio State and Florida.
And, by the way, what about the kicker for USC that we all saw in the Rose Bowl last week, who was found dead over the weekend?
Yeah.
What's up with that?
That was weird. They
that's
said
horrible.
It might be suicide, might be an accident.
Yeah, where
know.
I know he fell off some rocks or something. Where was he? I never heard.
I don't know, but
exactly
it was someplace where there was a long drop off.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was not good.
No,
it's
very
good
sad
to bad scale. So we're going to talk to Petros about that. We'll talk to him about the professional sports too, as well as Lisa's going to insist we do.
Well,
she just sports.
I can't
sports,
get through
sports
a day without sports
all day. It drives us nuts. Also on the show today, we're going to talk to the head guy from the CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, which starts today in Las Vegas.
I love to hear the new stuff.
Oh, me too. He's the guy who they send him all the little gadgets and everything else. And this is a preview in Vegas for the people who work in the industry. And he's going to tell us all the new electronic gadgets that we might be able to play with here in the next year or
yeah
so. They actually come out. Also on the show today, Irrational Fears. I don't know if you were listening when we had Jimmy Kimmel on, but he was talking about Beck and how he's afraid of ramps. He's afraid of ramps.
He won't walk up a ramp?
Yeah. I was like, what the hell? This is a little bit from that show.
Beck will not go up or down ramps.
Okay, so details coming up later this morning and other irrational fears. Bean has one, so we have to talk to him about that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's see. We got to talk about this British woman who's trying to teach kids to pole dance. I don't know if you saw this story, but they're saying you can't start the pole dancing too soon, apparently, for some of these people.
Oh, my God.
So I'm not exactly sure what that's about. Ralph has the AVN nominations. Those are always funny. The adult video.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to give us all the categories, and then we're going to, you know, make our picks like we do for, you know, the Academy
Awards. For the Academy Awards.
It's pretty much the same, on the same level with the Academy Awards. Sure. Chuck Heston on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, and we have details on K-Rock's World Tour 2007, Destination Number 2. We have those details for you coming up at 7:15 this morning. Ralph Showbiz Beat is next.
5:50, as Kevin mentioned, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
You'd think kicking a field goal pretty automatic, right? Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, you would think.
Yesterday, the Eagles won in a field goal with 3 seconds left to beat the New York Giants.
What was it, 38 yards?
Yeah, 38-yarder. Yeah. You know, for Akers, our field goal kicker, you know, chip shot.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Right.
The Cowboys had the same situation, and they weren't supposed to kick a field goal for to win the game.
Well, there was a minute 19 left. It was 21-20 Seattle. Right. Had the Cowboys kicked a field goal, there's certainly a possibility Seattle could have got down the field far enough to kick one to still win it, but we didn't have to worry about that because they botched it. Tony Romo botched the snap.
That's what happened. Yeah. Oh, that's what happened.
So where are the Cowboys playing next week?
Well, they won't be.
I'm confused.
And they certainly won't be getting to the Super Bowl. I know that much.
Oh,
the reason I bring this up. Yeah.
How could I forget?
I heard Kevin mention it this morning.
Oh, pay the man.
I remember early in the season.
Pay the man, mother effer.
Psycho Mike said that it was a guarantee that the Cowboys were going to get to the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, yes.
So I just wanted to remind Kevin that that's not going to happen.
And I'm not going to get paid either, you know.
I know. Exactly. He never falls on his bets.
Shouldn't some photos of President Jackson be exchanging hands right now?
Can you write me a check? No, you can't write me a check.
Boing, 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 boing.
Dude, when you bet somebody money, first thing in the morning, you show up with cash.
Bring it.
Ralph reminded me, too, as well. I totally forgot.
Just give me your whole wallet. Convenient. Give me your whole wallet. I want everything. I want the credit cards. I want everything.
Well, it's worth $250.
It's a
blurg.
That's a story for another time. How excited Mike is about the brand of his wallet.
Carry my blurg wallet.
You got a blurg? Mike, no way.
Oh, I have a blurg, too. We both have blurgs.
Mike, you're not allowed to start rooting for the Saints or somebody else who's still in the playoffs, all right? You're out.
I know.
You're not allowed to bet either.
Yeah.
Ever again.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it's not my fault Ralph's gay. You guys keep bringing that on me.
What are you talking about? You bet, Ralph. You didn't pay.
I know. That's what happened.
Now you bet me you didn't pay.
Wait, no, that's not at all what happened.
Man, you're the worst. He's the worst.
He's the worst.
He's the absolute worst.
All right, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Well, it is Film Awards season, and the National Society of Film Critics have given out theirs over the weekend. Dame Helen Mirren, who Lisa saw this weekend in the film The Queen, has won for Best Actress for that role. Forest Whitaker took the Best Actor prize for his turn in The Last King of Scotland. Mark Wahlberg won Best Supporting Actor for his role in The Departed. Well-deserved. I thought he was awesome in that.
He was, yeah.
Meryl Streep wins Best Supporting Actress for her role in The Devil Wears Prada, which I finally saw on DVD over the weekend. Real good movie.
Not bad, right?
I really enjoyed that.
For a chick flick.
And the Spanish-language film Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, man, do I love that.
Which everyone is saying is just awesome.
Oh, wait, I've never seen it or heard of it.
Was voted the best movie of the year.
Wow.
That doesn't surprise me just based on the other reviews I've seen. Yeah. That's for
sure. People are saying it's pretty awesome.
Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Is that out now?
It's by that Spanish dude who makes those movies.
That guy that makes
it. It's a fantasy movie. It's like a, you know, for the people who don't have a Lord of the Rings or a Narnia or something like that this year, apparently it's like that, only even different.
It's a Spanish Narnia. That's what you're saying.
Is it a negative nothing, Lisa?
No, I don't think it's a negative nothing.
I think it's a positive something. Speaking of movies, producers of Eddie Murphy's new comedy, Norbit, are appealing.
What's the name of it?
Norbit.
Really?
Yes. Are appealing to the Motion Picture Association of America's Classification Board to get the film rated PG-13 as opposed to an R, because apparently there's some sex-related humor in it that the board didn't care for, but the producers are insisting they're being too harsh. As you can imagine, a PG-13 versus an R greatly affects how much money a film makes, because you can have more people obviously attend, certainly younger people. But the producers aren't budging. They said they're not going to cut the film. They want the MPAA to reassess the film and give it the proper rating. And the MPAA has not released its final decision yet. However, they said, what if we just label it Sucks? And then we'll all be done with it.
That's not a category, I don't think.
It is one of Eddie Murphy movie. Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live is engaged to a supermodel. That doesn't seem right, does it?
Nope.
No, not at all.
No.
He's 36 years old.
It ain't natural!
She's 27.
Oh!
Oh, wow.
Her name? Sunshine Tut.
That's not her name.
He's engaged to Sunshine Tut.
Chris Kattan is marrying Sunshine Tut.
Tut. Yes.
Wow.
The K-Rock microphones are there at the reception. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Wait, he's one of those guys. He's right at the Roxbury.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He was moving their head to one side.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine him. Look at Will Ferrell now. It's like, I was in that movie with him.
We were at the same point in our careers at
equals.
That point.
Equals. We were co-stars. Night at the Roxbury.
Yeah.
Now I'm doing Year Without a Santa Claus on television.
Although he's also doing Sunshine Tut.
Apparently, so. Yes. Getting a little... I can't say it.
I
was going to say a little tut.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Something that's close to tut.
Can't really say the F word, though.
No, I was going to say the T word. Like sugar.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Sugar tuts.
I got you.
There you go. Man. That's what I was going to say. I liked your grandfather's work, King. he did good work.
He was good.
He did very good work. And Wentworth Miller, star of Prison Break.
Oh.
God, Mike.
Would like Psycho Mike to know he's not gay.
Man, oh man.
Apparently, there's a bunch of rumors that the 34-year-old actor is, in fact, gay. And he'd like to set the record straight by saying, no, I'm not gay.
Not gay.
Okay.
I know these rumors are out there. I'm cool with the fact that they exist. I mean, this is about fantasy. Certain people are going to have certain fantasies. If someone wants to imagine me with a woman or a man or one of each, that's cool with me as long as they keep watching the show.
Well, sounds sexy.
So I guess he's got the right perspective when it comes to all that.
Sure.
Mike, is he a gay icon? You and your friends, you look at him and go, ooh, got to get me some of that?
Oh, yeah.
When you're putting on the eyeliner before you go out on Saturday night?
Prison Break poster in the locker room.
We decide which bets not to pay off before you leave the house. Extra, the tabloid TV show, is saying that Kate Hudson and Owen Wilson have now broken up. Well, I guess that was worth a marriage then, wasn't it, Kate?
Apparently. Did they just get married? Is that one of those deals?
No, she busted up with her husband, Chris Robinson, the Black Crowes. She left him in order to be with Owen Wilson.
Okay.
And now apparently that relationship has fizzled as well.
I got you.
Friends are saying that the couple broke up because Owen refuses to commit. What a surprise. He seemed like such a commitment-oriented guy, except that he bangs everything. And Heather Mills. Oh, Heather.
What's about Heather?
She's accused of kicking a woman outside of a coffee shop after she saw the woman snapping pictures of her with her camera phone.
I'm sorry, Ralph. Did you say kicking a woman?
Yes.
Come on.
Visualize that.
They're just begging you for
that. They're going to throw this right out of court, aren't they? Your Honor, seriously, she's got one leg.
You couldn't get away?
I guess it depends on which leg she was doing the kicking with. But the photographer, a woman named Emma Levy, claims that Heather jumped up, grabbed me by the throat,
come on,
pushed me towards the door, lashed out with her left leg, and kicked me in the butt. I have a big bruise.
Is that the fake one or the real one?
I don't know. I got to do some research and find out which one the left leg is.
Fake leg, real leg.
I'm guessing it's the real one. She probably just balanced, just propped herself up on the fakie and then just wound
maybe
up.
Maybe she could have more swing if she stood on the good one and swung the piece of wood or whatever it is.
The piece of wood. That's what she has, Kevin. She has a 2x4 lashed to her knee. That's how she gets around.
It does seem like this is the kind of behavior you want to stay away from, maybe if you're in the middle of a contentious divorce where there's child custody issues and whatnot.
Yeah, I would think so. Bad press right there.
Yeah.
The photographer, Emma Levy, also added, too bad Tony Roma wasn't holding me, then she would have missed me completely. To bring it all full circle.
There you go.
Hi, how are you?
Nicely done.
Happy Monday. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bob in the Butt, Bob Eubanks, the host of the long-running game show, The Newlywed Game, is 69 years old today. Stephen Hawking.
Oh.
Our little robot friend.
You're kidding.
Celebrates his 65th birthday today.
He's going into space this year or next. Did you read that article, Ralph? Did you see that?
Oh, he is. Is he?
He wants to go up into one of those zero gravity things.
As cargo? Or is he going as a passenger?
I think he's going as a passenger.
Hmm.
I think he's going to have sex.
Oh.
That feels so good.
Like that.
Daddy.
I thought about this all day.
Not sure. So fast. Right. You are hurting me.
Oh, that's ugly.
Stephen Hawking blowing out his birthday candles. I just don't go out. It's a drag. Singer David Bowie's 60 years old today. All right there, Alex. Sister producer Alex wetting her pants in the corner. R. Kelly.
Yes.
He's 40 years old today. Yes. Where's the other chapters, by the way? Mother Effer?
I think he's holed up in jail. I mean, in court now. I think the case is going through, and they need to drop it.
Well,
so
while
give
he's
us some
sitting
more
there, he should be jotting down some more rhymes like Dresser and Beretta. So we can whip out some new chapters.
He rules.
Exhibit. The rapper is 33 years old today. And Rachel Nichols, who played Rachel Gibson on Alias.
Oh, God. Stop it.
Celebrates her 27th birthday today. What's Rachel up to, I wonder? Maybe we can get her into the show and talk to her.
Let's not.
Oh, that's no way to start your Monday.
Behind the scenes for about 2 years, being every day. Rachel Nichols. Hey, we should get Rachel Nichols in.
Rachel Nichols.
Hey, has anybody thought about
Rachel
Nichols
on the show?
Hey, we should get Rachel Nichols in.
Where's Rachel Nichols?
We ended up hating her because of Bean.
Yeah.
Then we finally get her, and then all Bean says, oh, I miss Rachel Nichols.
I do miss her.
What did he say?
I miss Rachel Nichols.
I miss Rachel Nichols.
I really talked about
being at a stroke.
Are you drinking?
I should be.
What's in that cup?
It's tea, but right. I think I'm going to hit the hard
I'm
stuff.
I'm just saying, life was better.
In that cup right there.
Life was better when Rachel was here. That's all I'm saying. When she was on our show, that's the best this show ever was.
All right.
You may be right. Certainly better than this show so far. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
All right, let's talk first about exercise. Lisa May said that she did some pole dancing over the weekend.
Yeah.
It's a new exercise buzz.
Not a euphemism.
Yeah, you go down there. They teach you how to work the pole, I guess. You get a workout along the way.
It's pretty hard work, actually.
Is it?
If you want to do some of the more advanced tricks, yeah.
This story comes out of the BBC News, and it's a little troubling, I have to be honest. A Northumberland fitness instructor has defended plans to teach children as young as 12 how to pole dance.
Yay!
Because, you know, your average 12-year-old needs to know how to work the pole.
Oh, no.
Is she coming from, hey, whatever exercise we can get kids to do, all the better because obesity is through the roof right now?
Yeah, kids are too fat. This is just exercise. Don't be so picky. Well, any exercise is good exercise, so let's teach them to work a pole. By the way, boys and girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. Can you imagine
Is there a gay equivalent to pole dancers in the gay community? I mean, do men pole dance in places, too?
Dancing on the pole is what it's called.
No, actually. But like a club.
I've never been to a gay club.
Oh, please.
You're our go-to.
All right. Well, Lighting lined up this chick, Lorraine Riddell. She is the woman who's going to be teaching the class, and we have her on the phone now. Good morning, Lorraine.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Oh, so very glad to hear that.
So, Lorraine, you do what for a living? You are an exercise instructor? You're a teacher at a school? What?
Physical education instructor in Choppington.
Okay, Choppington. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And
I'm a lady, too.
You're a lady, okay.
I'm a lady, yes.
Right.
In case there's any confusion.
Good. And the story is correct. You want to teach children as young as 12 how to pole dance.
Absolutely. I believe that children need physical fitness, and they must be taught to strengthen their muscles and to have aerobic activity.
Right.
And this is an excellent way for young people to strengthen their young bodies, their young, supple, lithe bodies as they swing upon the pole, sliding up and down ever so slowly.
Lorraine?
Grinding up against it.
Lorraine?
Discovering their young bodies.
Lorraine, this is really creepy.
What their bodies are for.
Lorraine.
Lorraine, aren't there lots of other...
That's an excellent workout.
Sure, yes, of course.
Yes.
I see. But aren't there a lot of other ways that they could get the same advantages to the exercise without doing something as sexually charged as pole dancing? Couldn't they be running or playing dodgeball? It seems like there's a number of things they could do instead.
Actually, this is an excellent workout. It works out all the muscles at once.
Right.
The legs, the arms, the buttocks, the stomach, the buttocks.
You already said that.
The arms and buttocks.
Right.
The inner thighs. Buttocks.
Okay.
And really, it's an all-encompassing workout, whereas running just works the legs, or dodgeball just works the Dodge parts.
The Dodge parts. Okay.
Your quote from the BBC article is, I have seen the joy in the faces of children who are holding their body strength up, doing the splits, spinning round and upside down.
Oh, yes, I've seen that. I've seen the joy in that. Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes, it's quite joyful. I have an entire afternoon, actually, that we plan around the pole work.
Is that right?
After that, they get a nutritious lunch.
Mm-hmm.
The girls, I teach how to eat bananas.
What?
In one swallow.
Wow.
And the boys, I teach how to eat tacos.
Oh, Lorraine.
Using just their tongues.
Oh, Lorraine.
Because the shells are filled with carbohydrates and they don't need those at all.
Lorraine, we're talking about little kids here.
Then after lunch, we have a arts and crafts session.
Okay.
Where I teach the young ladies to use papier-mâché to create a model of the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, really?
And the boys get to make the Grand Canyon.
Wow.
Now, all-encompassing afternoon, and everyone has an excellent time, especially me.
Yeah.
It sounds like it.
Did I mention I'm a lady?
You did, yes.
Yes,
you did.
Yes, I'm a lady.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I am.
have you
voice
been...
Voice is a little rough this morning, but I'm still a lady.
Yes.
Yes, we know you are.
You sound very much like a lady.
Yelling at the Eagles game yesterday.
You are? I understand.
Oh,
wow,
yes.
How about that?
Wow.
American football is very popular over here in Choppington.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Riddell.
Yes, I am a lady, yes.
You are a young lady.
I have to ask, mm-hmm. Yes, are you surprised at all by some of the outcry from the parents of those children that you're trying to teach the pole dancing to, that they suggest that maybe they're too young to do something that's so thought of as a sexual activity?
No, not at all. In fact, I'm not surprised at the outcry. I'm not surprised that there's no outcry for us to stop doing this bit, quite frankly.
Oh, the phones are ringing, ma'am.
I'm sure they are.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Hey, you like the Weezer? I got the new Weezer for you.
That was a moment with Bean.
That's how Bean buys all the CDs from that guy. He shows up in the parking lot.
Parking lot of a service station. Sell it for $5. Stone Sour, their new one called Through Glass, coming up next in the world-famous K-Rock. Also, some killers before the top of the hour at 6:21, Monday morning on K-Rock. Oh, don't forget, about an hour from right now, details on destination number 2 of K-Rock's World Tour 2007. That's straight ahead.
First Afro line, 323-520. Afro is the phone number. You can leave a message 24 hours a day. This one, I think, got stuck someplace in the atmosphere. This is a call from 1990.
Yeah, can I leave a request for Michael, the maintenance man? I'd like for him to go over with a bullhorn to my boss's house. He's an a-hole.
Wow.
That would take a while to get to us, but yeah, we'll make that happen.
We'll try to locate Michael, the maintenance man, for you.
Get Heaven on the phone.
No.
Oh, come on. You don't know,
man. I just heard that Disneyland's going to be playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers on the roller coasters now. Woo-hoo! Because you can't get enough Red Hot Chili Peppers, can you?
I hadn't heard about that. Are they playing Love Roller Coaster? Is that what they're playing over at Disneyland? Is that what he's talking about?
I think that was a lame attempt at a joke.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but it sounded to me like
it was lame.
He needs to work on his act a little bit more before he calls the Afro line.
Okay.
Here, I'm not sure what this is.
Come here, boy. Come here.
Who's she?
Oh, come here, Stryker.
Stryker.
Okay, stop wagging your tail so much.
Okay, here's the update.
Yeah.
So I looked at the pictures online from History of Violence when a listener told us after we found out Stryker had a tail that Viggo Mortensen had a tail, right?
Right.
And I couldn't see anything in the pictures. Maybe they weren't good pictures. My wife watched the movie last night on the satellite.
Yeah.
She woke me up at midnight last night to say, oh my God, Viggo Mortensen has a tail.
He does?
She says it's like a 2-inch tail that you can see in the love scene in History of Violence. And now I need to go get the movie and see it with my own eyes. Because
But you looked at all the pictures, still photos?
I looked at the still photos, couldn't see anything that really looked more like just a, you know, just a bump at the end of the coccyx. But she says, yeah, it's a for real, it's a tail.
Stryker has a tail!
Tail.
Well, let's make Viggo has a tail, because apparently that's next. So what's up with that?
Oh, my God.
Next hour, we're going to talk about irrational fears.
Irrational fears, huh? What sounds worse, used or moist? Moist. Moisty, moist. La, 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 la. Church.
My friend just went into convulsions.
Yeah, there's an actual girl that we know who, when the word moist is said, literally collapses to the floor.
She does.
It's the strangest thing you'll ever see.
Moisture, fine.
Moisture is fine?
Fine. Not a problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, our listeners smoke a little too much weed at times, and they don't get all of the details correct. Lisa was telling us on, I think it was Friday, that she sponsors a little kid, a little Mexican kid in South America for 50 cents a month.
Right.
And this guy has pretty much everything wrong.
Dude, Lisa will only send 50 cents a day for her Mexican kids in South Africa, but she'll spend $130 to get her dog massaged.
That's a great point. Give up one massage, you could feed a whole village, Lisa.
They don't need that kind of money. They don't need to live in a palace.
It's not a...
I don't even live in a palace.
You can afford a palace for $130?
Well, if you could live on 50 cents a month, think of
you
that.
You can't! That's the point!
It seems they're fine.
That guy says 50 cents a day for a Mexican kid in South Africa. This is wrong on every level.
Hola, I'm a little girl from Mexico. Living in South America, I just want to thank Lisa May for the money she gives every month. Half a tortilla is better than none.
That's what poor I'm man. Saying.
Lisa is a humanitarian.
I give and give till it hurts.
He does.
It's a big week in Las Vegas, you guys. The Consumer Electronics Show is going on this week. We'll be talking to somebody about that later on. Ralph, I know you're heading to Sin City this weekend. You got big doings too, right?
I am. I'm going for the Adult Entertainment Expo. Which is the largest adult entertainment expo in the country. If anyone's ever been to the one here in Los Angeles, you know what I'm talking about. It's basically a giant convention center filled with sex toys, and you get to meet all the adult film stars. And the one in L.A. is good, but this one is huge. It's much bigger. It's about 340 different exhibitors selling their wares and about 250 porn stars that you can meet while you're there.
Damn.
Starts Thursday, goes Thursday through Saturday. It's the Adult Entertainment Expo 2007. You can buy your tickets at ticketweb.com. It's going to be at the Sands Expo Center there in Vegas Thursday through Saturday. So I'm going to be there this weekend. Come out and say hi. But also this weekend is the AVNs, the Adult Video News Awards, which is the Oscars of porn.
And they take it that seriously, too.
And, well, they should, Kevin. Because rarely does this industry get a chance to really give praise and honors to those who do amazing work
all
year long.
That is true.
Like, Jenna Jameson is the Helen Mirren of the adult the adult world, and she needs to be honored. And, of course, this is the biggest award show of the year by far, the AVNs in entertainment. And, of course, everyone, I'm sure, by now has their AVN award pools going in the office.
Well, of course.
And it's hard to break down because a lot of these categories have about 15 nominations in them. And it's hard to pick, you know, which one's going to win this year. It's a real horse race. So every year I like to take a look at the possible winners and give you my opinion on who I think is going to go home with the Lucite.
What is it that they give you when you win
the award? Like a Lucite plaque or something. You don't quite get a gold statue like the Oscar, but you do get some Lucite.
Okay.
So I want to take a look, first of all, the big nominations, best film, best overall film. Pretty much comes down to Emperor, Manhunters, and Valentina for me, in my opinion. I got to go with Manhunters, though.
Manhunters?
Yeah, okay. From Wicked Pictures. And Brad Armstrong, the director of Manhunters, I got to give him Best Director nods as well. So those are my two picks for Best Film and Best Director. I'm going for Manhunters to sweep both categories.
Wow.
Now let's move on to Best All-Girl Movie, shall we?
Yes, please.
This is a tough one. 15 different films are nominated this year.
Wow.
I've narrowed it down to about four that I think are really the front runners.
Wait a minute. 15 movies are nominated?
In each of these categories, there's 15 different nominations.
15?
15 different nominees, yes.
Okay.
I've narrowed it down to these four, but I think one is going to pull ahead late in the voting. I think it's going to come down to Finger Lickin' Good 3 for Best All-Girl Film.
Right.
The All-Girl Violation of Charlotte Stokely, I think, is also a strong one. Whorgasm is
good.
Which is really one of my favorites of the year. But I got to think Vulvapalooza is really going to take the honor.
I
have, come through at the
I
end.
Have a clip from that.
From Vulvapalooza?
Yes, I do.
Oh, great.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's a good one.
I remember that scene, too. That was Vulvapalooza, Ralph. Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that based on the animated kid series of the 90s?
I think it was. Yeah, that's what I thought. Live-action version of that animated series. Let's go to best anal-themed film, shall we?
Yes.
Of course.
You got to like Anal Expedition 9. For them to keep cranking out this kind of quality after eight previous editions of Anal Expedition, I think you got to give them all kinds of credit.
They lost their way. You remember back 4, 5, 6, a lot of people said, well, this thing's running out of steam.
It was over. I did.
They really brought it back.
They reinvented the Anal Expedition franchise, I think, with number five. Bet Your Ass 3 over there at Darko Productions. They do good work.
There's no Darko Productions.
There is Darko Productions.
Awesome.
But, again, I think one stands head and cheeks above the rest, and that would have to be Weapons of Ass Destruction 4.
Oh, yeah. Can't beat that.
People at Jules Jordan Video put that together, and they did a great job.
If you didn't see the first three...
It doesn't matter. They recap it early on.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent.
It's like the Rocky film. You did so much recapping going on. You'll be caught up.
A lot of recapping. Best ethnic-themed release, Asian?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, like I don't know this one.
This is I'm telling you, these two films are neck and neck.
Okay.
I got to think Deviations from Sin City is right up there, but I give just by a nose, I think that Yellowtail is going to come through and just pick up the whole thing. Yeah,
I love that series. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
I have a clip of Yellowtail.
Oh, yeah, great. Like
that? Yeah. That's
out. Oh, she's good in that.
Yeah.
Best ethnic-themed release, Black. Best Black porn movie.
Okay.
This one was a little easier for me. I think there's a lot of good films out there this year in the Black ethnic porn division, but I think Tales from the Dark Side really has to be the one you have to go ahead with.
Does stand alone.
Pick that one in your pools, people.
I have a clip of that one if you'd like to hear
sure.
it.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
That's that one.
It was not a clip I would have picked, but it's not exactly the best sample from Tales from the Dark Side.
I thought it was.
Best ethnic theme release, Latin.
Latin.
Yes,
okay.
I think the whole enchilada really has to be the winner this year. Vince Voyer over at Voyer Media, he does good work. So
I wonder where Super Steve went when he left his show. Did he take the whole enchilada to the big screen?
Yeah, well, it depends how you spell whole, I guess. Whether
I see.
This is Steve's or not. I think the Latina House of Ass was strong.
Yeah, well,
I think Chicka Boom 36.
36.
Certainly in the running.
That's a hell of a series.
But I got to go with the whole enchilada. That's how I feel. It's just my opinion.
Okay.
But take her for what it's worth. The best hard-edged sex film.
What does that mean?
This is a fairly new category. This is a sex movie that's got a little bit rougher texture to it, a little grittier.
Yeah.
A little more street.
I'm afraid of this.
This isn't quite as polished as some of the other productions. This is like, imagine an indie film, if you would, in mainstream media.
Okay.
The hard-edged sex release is sort of that. Again, I've narrowed it down to four because this really, I think this is the cutting edge category for adult film. This is where the best work is being done.
Okay.
I've narrowed it down to Four on the Whore, which I think is a real strong front runner.
Yes.
Gangbanger's Ball, definitely in there. No Swallowing Allowed 9.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you, the ninth one, this is where they have perfected the formula.
They lost me halfway through 7.
But really, I think Innocent Until Proven Filthy is really going to be the one that takes it all.
I have a
year.
Clip of that if you'd like that.
Sure.
Yeah. Not sure what's going on there, but that's the clip.
Best interracial release. Bang That Black Bitch White Boy is certainly in the running. Michael Stefano does some good work over there at Red Light District. However, it's big, it's black, it's Jack.
Yeah.
I think also could easily win this category.
That's a goodie.
However, my daughter's effing Blackzilla, I think, has to be the winner this year because, really, the production value in that alone, I don't know what they spent, but it's all up there on the screen, I'll tell you that much.
I'm sorry, Ralph, what's that one called again?
My daughter's effing Blackzilla.
For your consideration, ladies
yes.
and gentlemen.
I have a clip, if you'd like to hear
it. Oh, sure,
one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right
catching her breath there.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, best oral-themed release, which is by far, I think, the biggest event of the night. People really look forward to the oral.
Talking
oral
about themed. The Adult Video Awards, which are this weekend. Ralph
this Gibbons. Weekend in Vegas, yeah. Man.
Tough, right?
This is a coin flip. There's about five films here I think could easily take it all. Gag Factor 21, I think, is certainly up there.
No.
Sore Throat, naturally.
Oh, that whole series is good at Sore Throat.
Black Gag, which I think is shocking because I would have put that in the black ethnic-themed category, but it's so strong that they actually gave it the nod for best oral-themed, which is stunning to me. Feeding Frenzy 8.
No.
Of course, Elsa has a good shot, but I got to go with Face Invaders. Face Invaders. I'm predicting Face Invaders walks home with the big prize this weekend this at the AVN Awards. I say Face Invaders takes the Lucite. So.
That's a clip
from Face Invaders. Face Invaders,
so. You're lucky, Ralph, that you're going to be there in person, because in Las Vegas, you can probably put down a parlay on some of these picks that you've made for the awards.
Absolutely. Heavy money. We'll be going back and forth across, especially in the oral, as I mentioned, the big awards.
I was at this award ceremony one time, and the woman won for best anal, and she got up and she said, I'd like to thank my mom and dad in the audience right out here. I was like, what? Your mom and dad are here.
We love you, honey.
I wouldn't have known how to do this if it wasn't for them.
Yeah.
It was really creepy. It was awesome. You got to go if you have a chance.
So, like I said, I'll be at the Adult Expo this weekend, and I'll be at the awards show as well. So I'll come back Monday and I'll let you know how I did on my picks. But I'm feeling pretty good about them, quite frankly.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz B. Ralph, what's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I'd like to give away 5 pairs of tickets to a special advanced K-Rock screening of a movie called The Hitcher. Have you seen this?
I have not.
Seen the trailers for it?
No. Seen the trailers, yeah.
Oh, dude.
Looks scary.
Do not pick up Hitchhikers.
Really?
Don't do it.
Okay.
Because the dude will tie you to a semi, and your arms will be on one semi, and your legs will be on the other semi, and he hits the gas on one of them. You don't want that to happen.
Is that good?
No.
Sounded like a good stretch?
No.
Kind of a burn, you know?
Pilates.
Okay. All right.
You know, it's weird. This is Bean speaking, and I live on a little island, and people hitchhike all the time on this island and get picked up all the time. It may be the only place in America where people are still hitching successfully, but it does still go on.
Well, don't do it, man, because this Sean Bean guy will come after you.
By the way, is it a coincidence that part of his name is Bean?
Yeah.
No need to check questions at all. Bean's backyard.
I remember the original with Rutger Hauer.
I remember that,
Was that scary, too.
God.
So anyway, this looks real good. You should check it out. It's a special screening at the ArcLight Theater in Hollywood, which, as you know, if you've heard me talk about the ArcLight, it's my favorite theater in the world. Thursday, January the 18th, I've got 5 pairs of tickets to give away to callers. Let's make it the first 5 callers right now. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers to get through and get a hold of, to wake up Dave the King of Mexico. Then you get to go see The Hitcher.
I have a clip from The Hitcher.
Oh, great. I don't think so.
That's when he's pulling her apart.
I think that's
back to you.
That's the bitcher, I think.
The bitcher. There.
Yeah,
okay.
Take off. Top 10 movies at the box office this week and Night at the Museum. Boy, is this thing a juggernaut.
Wow.
Who would have thought a movie about Ben Stiller being a night watchman in a museum would be such a monster? Made $24 million over the weekend.
Man.
Additionally, Pursuit of Happiness was number 2 at the box office, made about $13 million. Then The Children of Men came in at number 3, $10.3 million. Freedom Riders was number 4. That's with Hillary Swank. She says make a toast.
What's
the person
toast?
Used to be.
What's the toast for?
For the person you used to be and the new person that will not say no. Those voices in your head.
Ralph, Petros is coming in later. He may be listening now and thinks you're making fun of him. I want to make sure it's clear that you're doing Hillary Swank.
Petros is a completely different speech impediment than Hillary Swank.
But what would happen if they talked to each other?
Petros, who do you think's going to win the big game tonight? Well, I really can't for that. I wish would. I'd like to lay down a little winter. Dreams Girls was 5 at the box office. Dreams Girls was number 5 on Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Happily Never After was number 6. Charlotte's Web was number 7. The Good Shepherd was 8. Rocky Balboa, number 9. And We Are Marshall, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. I think Lindsay Lohan's a big fat liar.
Really?
Yes, I do. Did you get this email we got from our buddy Dr. Moe?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Medical expert of the Kevin and Bean show.
Calling into question her alleged appendectomy.
Debunking the story we've been getting from her publicist, where they said Lindsay went into the hospital for something. They weren't sure why. She wasn't feeling so well, but they removed her appendix as a precaution.
Right. As a precaution.
Yeah, that's the part that I think that immediately shot up a red flag for Dr. Moe. He looked into it and said, first of all, the statement says her appendix was removed as a precaution as they believed she may have been ill due to her appendix. Wrong answer. There are a number of tests, many with 90 to 95% sensitivity and specificity.
That word.
That one. Used to diagnose appendicitis. He said you never take out an appendix as a precaution. It's just a load of crap.
Then the next day, we all saw her leaving her hospital. You see these photos of her leaving, walking out of the hospital, getting into an SUV?
Yeah.
He said, let's say she had her appendix removed laparoscopically. That's when they take three to four small holes instead of one slightly larger one. There's no way she'd be up and around that soon. And let's say she is in some way unbelievably stoic and strong and bounces back from surgery that quickly. You can't leave a hospital after being discharged from an operation unsupervised. You just can't walk out. You have to be escorted in a wheelchair.
Right. Yeah. They always make you do that.
And she wasn't.
Really? So nothing she's telling us is true.
Then she was heard barking at paparazzi, asking them to have some decency as, come on, I just had surgery. Or something like that. It's just not true.
Wow.
So I did a little research, and it turns out that people are just going nuts, sending her publicist all kinds of questions regarding this, and seeing whether she is going to admit to the fact that she lied. Either Lindsay Lohan lied to her publicist, or her publicist was lying for her. But something's going on there. We don't know what. But she was not in the hospital for an appendicitis. That's what.
How about that?
All the sources are saying so.
Is it possible she was in there to try and extinguish
fire
the
crunch?
Good man.
You know?
It's disgusting. Go back to your cheap motel. You fire crotch. A stinky beaver.
She was having an asbestos graft put on down there in her crotchal region.
Ralph, you had an appendectomy. Does it leave a scar?
Mine did.
Because I'm just thinking, with Lindsay, with the little bikinis that she wears all the time, this summer we'll know whether she had an appendectomy or not, because we'll know whether we see a scar or not.
Well, here's the thing. If they did it laparoscopically,
right?
It's just real tiny little, like, half-inch incisions, three or four of them. They use with the they use a scope to get in there and deflate it and then pull it out. Mine, I had to be gutted like a fish because I didn't have much health insurance.
So from your spine all the way up to your neck?
I had it done in a van.
Guy named Chico.
So I have a pronounced scar, but she may not. We may not be able to spot it. So.
But it sounds like there's enough other evidence against that.
There's no way she could have any kind of surgery the way she's behaving and the way she came out of the hospital. So.
And I saw one of the other gossip reports that talked about how at her apartment the night before she went into the hospital, they had, you know, she had 20 visitors or something like that. Who goes to visit somebody if they're in excruciating pain from an appendectomy? You just don't do that.
Yeah.
Just didn't make any sense.
Party hardy, Marty.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Hilary Swank, we were just talking about her. She's in that new movie, Freedom Riders. She has vowed to sell off all the freebies that she picks up at the award shows this year.
The sell-up?
Yeah, for charity.
Okay.
She goes, now I'm getting all this free stuff thrown at me, and it's so strange. My New Year's resolution is to get rid of some stuff because I can bring it in and... what?
Huh?
I don't know what she's saying here. Anyway, she's going to raise some charity money with the gift baskets and the electronics and all the stuff they just bestow upon people, get nominated for Oscars, and people show up to present.
They give them, like, trips, you know, to Mexico
all
and stuff like
stuff.
That. It's crazy.
So she's going to get rid of it all for a good cause. And I think that's swell. Chris Kattan is engaged, formerly of Saturday Night Live. The 38-year-old actor is engaged to a 28-year-old supermodel named Sunshine Tutt.
That's just not true.
It is.
Sunshine Tutt.
They've been dating for just over a year, and apparently he proposed to her over Christmas, on Christmas Eve. So,
does she know that he's Chris Kattan?
I don't think she does. Hmm.
You ought to check out the photos of her on the FHM site, though, by the way. It's a pretty good deal.
She good looking?
She's not bad.
Yeah. Good enough for Chris Kattan, I can imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
And lastly, Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
Is trying to squash reports that she acted like a diva on the set of the new Justin Timberlake music video. She appears with Justin in his music video, What Goes Around Comes Around. And apparently there were a lot of rumors on the set that she was acting like a diva, especially when she wasn't allowed to smoke on the set. She said, how come we have fire dancers, but I can't light up a cigarette? That's not being a diva to me. That's just good sense right there. People throwing flames everywhere, and she can't light up.
And by the way, if she's unhappy, then we need to change the law.
That's right. Then smoke up, Johnny. That's what I say.
Whatever it takes.
Today's celebrity birthdays. David Bowie. Singer, songwriter, rock legend. All right, David Bowie. 60 years old today. Stephen Hawking, our little pal, our little robot friend Stephen Hawking. He's 65 years old today. Bob Eubanks, host of The Newlywed Game, is 69. R. Kelly, Trapped in the Closet legend, is 40 years old today. Exhibit turns 33 years old today. And Rachel Nichols, who is our good friend who played Rachel Gibson on Alias in its final season. She's 27 years old today.
She's hot, but Bean's a little over-enthusiastic with that belt.
He loves him some Rachel Nichols.
Charge her so much.
I mean, you know, too much. She's hot, but come on.
Oh, almost forgot. Wolfgang Puck celebrates his 58th birthday.
Psycho Mike, that's for you.
That's for you.
All right, yeah.
I know you like those little pizzas. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Let's talk about Chuck Heston. You, of course, remember him. He's an old movie star. Ben-Hur, The Ten Commandments, Planet of the Apes.
Oh, yeah.
He was the head of the NRA for a while, and he's got the Alzheimer's. But I don't know if you saw this report in the AP, but he's being sued by a neighbor. Apparently, there were some heavy rains in January of 2005, and the neighbor's house got some mud damage, and they are suing him for the mud damage that they got from a mudslide.
Because he lives above them, I guess?
They are suing him for slope failure.
Hey!
No.
What do you say?
No. They're suing him because they say he didn't take care of the hillside like you're supposed to, and so the mud caused more damage than it should have.
Oh, wow.
They're suing him for $1.2 million plus punitive damages.
What are you supposed to do? Lisa, you know probably more about this.
Well,
how are you supposed to uphold the mountain?
I think you have to plant a lot of different kinds of bushes and stuff, and that's what holds the mud in.
It keeps it from going.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can get
sued for slope failure. That's not a lawsuit you want to have, really, I don't think.
It's not nice to sue someone with Alzheimer's.
Well, we have Mr. Heston on the line, and I'm worried that we're going to be the ones breaking the bad news to him because, you know, he doesn't really follow what's going on as much as he used to, perhaps. But let's welcome back to the Kevin Amin Show for the first time in 2007, Academy Award-winning actor Charlton Heston. Good morning, Chuck.
Yes, good morning, Chuck.
How are you?
I'm a big fan.
No, you're Chuck.
Hello,
you're Chuck,
Chuck
Heston. No, we're Kevin and Bean, Chuck.
Is Chuck there? I'm a big fan.
You are Chuck Heston.
Planet of the Apes.
You were in that.
He was great in that.
Yes, he was. Yes,
Can't wait for him to come on your show.
He's on.
Can I just listen?
Chuck, Mr. Heston. Did you hear what we were talking about with the lawsuit? Have you heard that you're being sued, sir, for slope failure?
Is Chuck going to answer?
Well,
I'm waiting to hear the interview.
That's you. We're asking you. Are you being sued for slope failure?
Me? What do I have to do with Chuck Heston?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Hello?
Chuck.
Who is this?
It's Kevin and Bean. We call you from time to time.
Why do you call me from time to time? Why don't you call Chuck Heston? He's more interesting.
You are Chuck Heston.
What?
Yes.
All right, what? You on the phone. What is your name?
My name is Kirk Douglas.
No, it isn't.
Wait, it'll come to me.
Nope.
I'm Wilford Brimley.
Nope.
No.
Charlton Heston.
I'm Chris Kattan.
No,
damn,
definitely
I heard
not.
He's marrying a hottie.
Yes.
I wish I was Chris Kattan. Hold on, it'll come to me. Oh, I'm Chuck Heston.
There you go. All right.
Just needed something to trigger my memory.
All right, now.
Trigger, get it?
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yes. Wow.
Of course, I could be Roy Rogers.
Nope.
Trigger reference.
Chuck Heston was right.
Thank you, Bean.
Now, does anyone ever think, as I do, maybe that perhaps the problem with the Hill is just so much buckshot fired into it over the past 50 years that maybe that's what loosened all the mud?
It's been loosened by some target practice, that's for sure. Especially when I pull out the 50 millimeter.
Wow, you have a 50 millimeter.
That's what they tell me.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if I can trust them. They work for Chuck Heston.
Oh, here we go again.
God.
You are
Chuck. With the Okay, with
that
the
was
Alzheimer's.
An
is it a good Is it a good idea
shot
for you
my foot off.
Be firing weapons all over the neighborhood at your age and with your condition?
Get off my slope! Damn slope inspectors!
Is there such a thing?
Yes.
So you are being sued by your neighbors.
I think they're Vietnamese.
Oh, stop.
By coincidence.
By coincidence.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Take that, what? Charlie!
So, you're not fighting Charlie.
What? Charlie Sheen lives down the street.
Okay. Oh, that's what you meant. All right. What are you going to do about this lawsuit? Is this the type of thing that you can now go out there and repair the hill and they'll call it off? Are you in for a lot of money or what's going to happen here?
I'm going to be dead soon.
Right.
I don't care. By the time this comes out of the courts, I'll be smiling in the dirt.
I see.
Of course, I won't be smiling in the dirt. I'll be dead.
Right.
And if I wasn't dead, I wouldn't be smiling.
Right.
Because I'd be under some dirt.
And then that would be
and
scary.
And I'd be uncomfortable.
Right.
And hard to breathe. Unless I can make some holes with a gun. I've got it all figured out.
It sounds like it.
There's Chuck there.
No, that's... Oh, for God's sakes.
here we go.
Chuck!
All right.
Chuck, take your...
No more problem with that house down the hill.
All right, let's talk about irrational fears. We had Jimmy Kimmel on the show not too long ago.
And I'm terrified of that guy.
No, that's not what it is, though. He was telling us about Beck. Now, Beck's a strange little fella. And this story kind of tells you kind of how strange he is. And then we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you have fears that you don't share with most people.
Beck will not go up or down ramps.
Really?
When he came into the building and then realized he was in what he determined to be a ramp, he became troubled immediately, and they had to escort him through a side door onto the stage so he could walk up onto the stage, down into the audience area, out on flat ground, through the doors, down the stairs to the green room.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
He won't go on ramps.
Did he have a ramp incident at some time?
He was raped by a ramp. It's actually called ramped.
He's fine with stairs, though? It's just ramps he has trouble with?
Yeah. Stairs are good. I mean, that's what he prefers.
If he weren't, he couldn't go anywhere. He'd really be screwed. No kidding.
I've never heard of this. I mean, I don't know. I don't understand where something like that would come from. It can't be a physical thing, right? I mean,
No.
This can't be like hard for him to walk on a ramp. It's got to be in his mind, right? Fear of ramps.
Yeah, that's oddball right there. But that's what you expect from Beck. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's our toll-free number if you have an irrational fear. Here's another one to kind of give you an idea of the type of thing we're looking for. This is from frequent K-Rock contributor Raul, who has written into us. Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm not sure if this qualifies as one of the irrational fears you're talking about, but I have a fear that any sharp object pointed at me will all of a sudden raise up, fly across the room, and stab me.
What?
Even though I know the odds are against it happening, if there's a knife, a butter knife, or a steak knife anywhere on the table with a sharp end facing me, for precaution, I will get up and face it the other way so that it doesn't fly off the table and stab me. If it stabs someone else, fine with me, as long as it's not me.
Really? He scans the room and sees any kind of knife or anything sharp that's pointed at him and he changes it?
This is exactly what we're talking about, because he just, I guess, wants to be on the safe side just in case it somehow takes on a life of its own and comes at him. Will you know, because that could happen.
Will you get his phone number? Write him back and tell him we need to talk to him, because that's crazy. That's crazy.
Isn't Dave afraid of cotton or something like that? There's something that, some fabric that just drives, he can't touch it.
You mean cotton?
Cotton.
Cotton. Exactly. Dave, it's hard to keep track of Dave, the King of
That's
Mexico.
True.
He's got so many fears and weirdnesses, it's hard to keep track. But we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I have a list of about 1,000 phobias.
Oh, wow.
People are afraid of everything. You know, I mean, who's ever heard of being afraid of a knife across the room? But there's a fear of wet dreams. There's a fear of opening your eyes.
Isn't that just embarrassment?
There's a fear of bald people.
Oh, my God.
There's a fear of swallowing or of eating or of being eaten.
Well, that'd be a problem.
Yeah. There's a fear of rectum. Fear of dirt. Yeah, people are afraid of everything. So we'll take your calls. Let's begin with Jasmine in Southgate, who has kind of a strange fear. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What is it that you're afraid of that's not normal?
I'm afraid, you know, the dolls that move their eyes, like if it's not a Cabbage Patch with sticker eyes, the other ones with...
So any kind of doll that has movable eyes?
Yeah, I get really, really scared. Like, I start freaking out, like, really bad.
Have you ever seen those paintings? And I think they say this about the Mona Lisa, too, where it looks like the eyes follow you across the room. No matter where you are, it looks like the painting is looking at you. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about?
Does that creep
you
out?
I'm talking about a doll. Like, you know, the doll that they sell, like anywhere. Like, the doll that kids like to play with.
We got you. So the paintings don't bother you, just the dolls?
Just the dolls. Yeah, like, if I'm around my family because they know about it, like, if I see it, I'll start crying, I'll start sweating, and God knows, like...
You'll
like
start crying
attack.
And sweating.
Yeah, like I feel a doll like is gonna jump on me. Like I feel a doll's gonna run and jump on me, like attack.
How many times has that happened?
It happened like the last time it happened was probably like 2 years ago.
It didn't happen, Jasmine.
A doll jumped you?
She went on like that was a normal question.
Yeah,
that happened a couple years ago.
So the doll didn't run and jump on me, but I got really scared. Like somebody thought I was messing around, and then the guy came up with the doll, and I just started crying so bad, and I just locked myself in the restroom.
You would love the gift that Ralph got me for Christmas. It's a monkey head, a full-size, like, monkey head. And you can set it so that when you walk into the room, not only do its eyes follow you, but its head moves toward you.
No, I just...
That
I
would
just,
freak you out.
If I see something like that, I just try to look the other way and just, like, tell myself it's okay, it's not going to happen.
Oh, man, if I was anywhere around you, I would so surround you with
I'm
all...
I'm saying you are so lucky you don't work here.
Exactly.
All right, thank you, Jasmine, for the call.
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It.
Gina emails that she's deathly afraid of hermit crabs, scared somehow they will kill her.
Hermit crabs.
What was the last time a hermit crab took out a guy? That's what I want to know.
I don't think when was the last time is it works in any of these cases because you ask the people, you know, what? When did this happen? Never.
Right.
But they're still afraid of it. Irrational fears. 1-800-520-1067. We have some great ones on hold, including Michelle from Encino. You hold on. That's kind of a multi-parter. She's afraid she's going to be in the restroom and something's going to happen while she's in the restroom.
Oh.
So you hold on. We got Christina. We got Robert. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take the rest of your calls next.
Are you afraid of responsibility? If you are, then you have hypangeophobia.
I don't think that's quite it.
How about cats? If you're afraid of cats, you have aerophasia.
Well, sort of, but I'm not sure.
Are you afraid of staircases? If you are, then you have climacophobia. Maybe you have thalassophobia. This is fear of the ocean. Or gypharophobia, which is the fear of crossing bridges. Or maybe you have pantophobia.
What's pantophobia?
The fear of everything.
It's Kevin and Meacho on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. I'm not sure the fear of cats is anal phobia. I don't think that's accurate.
Is that what she said?
I think that's what she said. Double check that one.
By the way, Lucy gives a lot of pretty good advice for 5 cents.
Is that
she?
Right? Yeah, I guess so.
Dear Kevin and Bean, I don't know why, but marshmallows scare the bejesus out of me. I am afraid of suffocating or being buried in them. I don't know when it started. Maybe when I saw Ghostbusters and the huge Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Thanks for the show. Yeah.
So we're talking about buried in marshmallows.
Buried by marshmallows. That's normal, right?
Irrational fears that you can't figure out. You don't know why. Here's an email from somebody who's afraid of buttons. I mean, it's just, it can be the craziest things, but it's very, very real to you. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, you teased we were going to be speaking with Michelle in Encino. She's got something to do with restrooms. What's the deal here?
Michelle?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
You're on the air.
Yeah, no, I have a fear of being in public restrooms and then, like, you know, squatting and being midstream and having there be an earthquake and then falling.
So it's not like it's not a fear of the public restroom. It's while you're using the public restroom, you're afraid there's going to be an earthquake.
Yeah.
So do you not use public restrooms?
No, I do. You know, when you have to go, you have to go. But I usually try to go to, like, hotels.
You just hurry?
Or, like, on a road trip.
But wait a minute. Because if it's a nicer restroom, then it's not so bad?
Right. Right. Yeah. It's like the gas station bathroom.
At least Michelle's can happen. Right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right. I mean, you know, the guy that was talking about the knife from across the room, if it's going to fly and stab somebody, you know, that there's no way that'll happen. At least this could happen.
The odds are against it, but it could happen.
No, no. The odds are very, very much in favor of it, Michelle. You should be very afraid.
I am.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Good job, Kevin.
All right.
Let's talk to Patrick in Laverne. I got to be honest. I think Patrick's having us on here.
Patrick?
How you guys doing, man?
Good. Beck is afraid of ramps.
Yeah.
And we're talking about irrational fears. What are you afraid of?
Pizza.
What?
Nobody's afraid of pizza.
I can be around pizza. I can eat pizza, but I am afraid that someone is going to drop a piece of pizza on the back of my neck or my head or my chest or something.
What?
I have no idea why.
So as long as the pizza is in view, you're okay. It's just if the pizza is behind you or something, then you're terrified.
As long as I'm in control of it, I can deal with it.
Dude, you can't trust pizza any further than you can throw it.
I'm telling you.
Really?
I had pizza last night. We were at my two kids and my wife. We were sitting down at the table.
You're married?
Yeah, exactly. My son got up. He had his pizza on his plate. He walked around to get to the table, and I just...
Did you scream at him?
I cringed.
What are you doing, son? What are you doing with that pizza? What are you doing right now? That's weird.
And that's my wife's biggest threat to me is when you're asleep, I'm going to take a piece of pizza and lay it on your chest.
Wow, yeah, that's a hell of a threat.
I'll submit to anything as long as she says that.
Wow. This is the call of the year right here, Patrick. Thank you for dialing us up today.
You are all kinds of effed up.
That's fantastic.
All right, let's go to Robert in Rancho Santa Margarita. Good morning, Robert.
What's going on, guys?
Talking about irrational fears. The last guy's afraid somebody was going to put pizza on his neck.
Well, my fear is, it's kind of weird. I'm scared, and I have a fear of balloons that blow up with helium. I'm scared of the sound that they make.
Oh, that squeaking sound?
Yeah, like, I have a fear of that. Like, my parents had a birthday party for my brother and sister, and my mom was like, you want to help blow up some balloons? I'm like, hell no. Like, I honestly, I left the room, and my wife was trying to, like, tease me by walking around with the balloon, like, I'm going to pop it, and I just freaked out. Like, I honestly don't know why I just did, though.
Where did that come from, do you think?
Honestly, you know, as a little kid, I mean, maybe a balloon popped in my face or something, I'm not sure.
Did you get touched by a helium balloon?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. This is what I love, by the way, is it happens to every caller so far, is that once your friends and family, the people you should be able to trust, find out about your family,
yeah,
they do nothing but taunt you about it.
Oh, yeah. I would blow up balloons around him all day long. All right, thank you, Robert, for the call. Let's go to Rebecca, who's kind of got the opposite problem with Beck. We were talking about Beck earlier, how he's afraid of ramps. Good morning, Rebecca.
Hi, I'm afraid of going downstairs.
You're afraid of going downstairs?
Well, that's got to be inconvenient.
Any stairs?
It is so hard. We had to move apartments because we were upstairs.
You had to move apartments.
What do? Just clutch the rail and go down slowly?
Clutch the rail. If I have to, I'll slide down the stairs on my bike.
Is it because did you fall one time and now you're...
Yes, I fell like 15 stairs down.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Concrete stairs, too. It was so scary.
I fell down an escalator one time at LAX, landed on my suitcase, and slid all the way down the escalator. I'm not afraid of them.
You're kidding.
No. I also broke my nose on stairs, but yeah, you got to get over that stuff, Rebecca.
Oh, no. I'll take off my shoes to go downstairs because I feel like I can grip them better without shoes on.
Okay.
That's wild. And you're probably fine with elevators, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because those are way safe. All right. Thank you, Rebecca, for the call.
Listen to this, guys. This person sounds like they're legit, but here's the irrational fear I just got via email. Sunflowers.
Sunflowers?
Sunflowers. I can't stand seeing them. I even hate looking at the word. It was so difficult just to type it right now. They're so disgusting. The inside of the brown part. Ugh. I can't go on describing it. Sunflowers.
The actual flower.
Are we an effed up
group? What if we can eat sunflower seeds, though?
Oh, sure. It's fine.
Yeah, that's not a problem.
No problem. Kyle and Downey, good morning.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We are good.
Hi, Kyle.
What are you afraid of?
I am deathly afraid of corn nuts.
Corn nuts?
Okay, now you're just joking.
No.
Come on.
I kid you not. They make me sick to my stomach. Just looking at them, hearing people crunch them, I can usually smell them from across the room. They disgust me.
Corn nuts. They are kind of potent. But I will tell you, this is Bede. I have corn nuts at least once a week. They're one of my favorite 7-Eleven food treats.
So you can kind of sense it, Kyle? I mean, you can kind of smell it across the room?
Yeah, like when I go to pick up friends, if they've been eating it in like the past couple hours, I tell them, get out of my car.
No, you don't.
Wow.
I do, too.
Wow.
You've had corn nuts? Get out? That's what you say to your friends.
No, they gross me out. I have to have my head out the window. I would never strand my friends, but I usually have my head out the window.
So what the smell?
You and I are not road tripping to Vegas, Kyle. I'll tell you that.
What would happen to you if somebody were eating corn nuts right next to you?
I would throw up. I couldn't stand to be in the car.
Wow. It's like
Isn't
Mike in the tail.
It is, yeah.
He would just start heaving.
It's like Mike who was throwing up in the back of the room.
That's wild, Kyle. Thank you very much for that.
All right. Thanks for the call. One more. Let's do Wayne in San, I have for city here.
San Bernardino.
San Bernardino.
Thank you. Wayne, good morning.
Morning. What it do?
What it do, Wayne?
What are you afraid of?
I feel pretty like a girl, but I have a Kleenex. I'm definitely afraid of Kleenexes. I don't like touching them. I don't like the sound of them that they make when you pull it out of the box. I don't like Kleenex tissue.
Is it just Kleenex or all tissue?
It's just Kleenex. If I blow my nose, I use bath tissue. I don't use Kleenex at all. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It was never touched by Kleenex as a child. I just don't like it.
How do you know? Maybe you're blocking that out. Maybe when you were a little kid, Kleenex jumped across the room and touched you.
I do have memories of blackouts time to time when I think of Kleenex.
That's what it is. It's always Kleenex. Always fill in your blackouts with Kleenex. You'll be pretty safe. Thank you.
Petros, you have to step out right now. We're going to have you in after the top of the hour.
Can I come back for after on Philbert Nose?
Yes.
Yes. So just step out and talk to Alex, and we'll bring you back in a few minutes, okay?
All right.
All right. 752. Ralph is here with the Showbiz B. What's going on?
Petros hates me now.
Yeah.
I told him it was all your fault. I just wanted to do Hillary Swank.
Fault.
I just wanted to do Hillary Swank. Yeah. No, you guys pushed me.
Yeah.
A lot of people are emailing me, asking me more information about this Adult Entertainment Expo in Vegas this weekend, so I wanted to give out that email address, the website, one more time. It is adultentertainmentexpo.com. Couldn't be easier. That's the big thing this weekend with the AVNs, and it's 250 different porn stars. You can meet them, take your pictures Thursday through Saturday, and you can buy sex toys and all kinds of good stuff. So
you will see the largest boobs that you have ever seen in your entire life at this thing.
Oh, yes.
I mean by like 10 times bigger than you've ever thought.
But the ladies dress very modestly when they go to this thing. So
oh, wait, no, they don't.
That's what's good. Speaking of awards, on March 12th, at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will induct its latest inductees. Five acts are making it this year. They've just released the list.
Okay.
I just thought it was funny that they've got the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio.
Right.
However, when they do the big party, New York City.
Right.
They don't bring people to Cleveland to celebrate the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
After everything dies down, okay, they ship it over.
Go there now to Cleveland after we're done partying here in New York City, a real city.
That's funny.
The five inductees this year for 2007, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five.
Sure.
Of course, Kid Creole, Cowboy, Grandmaster Flash, Melly Mel, Mr. Ness, and Raheem. Raheem was my favorite.
Oh, he was good.
I never should have left that band. Back when we were the Furious Six.
Yeah.
Good times. R.E.M. also getting inducted this year.
Oh, good.
Bill Berry, Peter Buck, Mike Mills, Michael Stipe. The Ronettes, the all-girl band from the 60s with Phil Spector. Estelle Bennett, Ronnie Spector, and Nedra Talley. Patti Smith. She was
deserving.
Great. She was great with Scandal. I used to love her in that
sure.
band.
No, that was sure. That's Smythe. That's Patti Smythe.
Different. And Van Halen. Michael Anthony, Alex Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen, David Lee Roth, but they're also including Sammy Hagar.
What?
That ain't right. He doesn't get to ride on their coattails.
They're putting both lead singers
in. Boys, Gary Cherone pissed.
But it was all David Lee Roth. Those were the good years.
I know.
If there had never been a David Lee Roth-led Van Halen and the only group that ever existed was the Sammy Hagar one, they would not even be considered for the Rock and Roll
Hall. We never would have heard of them.
No. Huh. I mean, they might have been successful. They might have had some hits, but not the influence that they had with Diamond Dave.
That's lame.
But the upside is we get to see Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth have a fist fight on stage in New York.
That's cool. At the same place at the same time.
When is that?
Wow. That'll be a plus. March 12th.
March 12th, all right.
This year, they induct all those guys, so congratulations.
You know, I love that David Lee Roth, as we all do. Somebody should give him a radio show or something, because guy seems like he has so much to say. Don't you think it'd be entertaining?
He'd be good on the
excellent.
Radio.
Excellent.
They should put him with Money.
That's even better.
Money and Diamond Dave. Now, that's a combo.
That's Star.
Money needs some help over there. That's Star. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Night at the Museum continues to be a massive hit. Made an additional $24 million this weekend. It shows no sign of slowing down, this movie.
It's amazing.
A lot of people were excited to have Dick Van Dyke back on the big screen, Ralph. That's the only thing I can imagine.
And Mickey Rooney. Don't forget.
Mickey Rooney, too.
Pursuit of Happiness was number two at the box office with $13 million over the weekend. Children of Men, which looks great. I can't wait to see this movie. It's got that Clive Owen in it. Okay. He's good.
He is.
Freedom Riders with Hilary Swank. It's number four at the box office. Dreamgirls was number five. Happily Never After, Charlotte's Web, The Good Shepherd, Rocky Balboa, and We Are Marshall, number 10. That's your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Well, there was a bit of a hullabaloo in Houston this weekend.
What happened?
There was a huge turnout for Beyoncé's open auditions for dancers for her upcoming tour. She is casting all unknowns in 40 different slots to back her up on tour this year. She's already had auditions in Atlanta and Los Angeles, but it was her hometown of Houston where the crowd was just nuts on Saturday morning. Tons and tons and tons of people showed up. And all the auditions will be taped. Then they'll be flown to either New York or Los Angeles for the final auditions. And the lucky 40 will be chosen before she goes out on tour.
Is it a TV show thing?
No.
It isn't?
No, just an audition.
Kevin, you're not going to dance this year with Beyonce?
I got to take a year off, dude. I got to take a year off.
Your knees can't take it anymore?
No. Sometimes it's just you wear out after all that dancing.
I know. Speaking of TVs and auditions, did you catch any of that You're the One That I Want Grease thing last night?
Taped it. No, I didn't.
I tried, Ralph. I watched about the first 7 or 8 minutes and I was out.
Don't bother watching,
Excellent.
Kevin.
Good to know.
It
looked bad.
God awful. First of all, it's hosted by Billy Bush, and you know he sucks.
Yes, he's bad.
Secondly, imagine.
There's nothing wrong with Billy Bush.
Billy Bush is bad on every level.
He wasn't the problem.
He's a horrible,
night.
Horrible human being.
Yeah.
But imagine American Idol. But they sing the same goddamn song over and over again.
Oh, all everyone of them? Seems
How many times do you want to hear Hopelessly Devoted to You sung poorly?
Oh, my God.
And it wasn't done nearly as well, and they weren't really, really bad ones, like the fun sort of part of American Idol.
Right.
And it was the longest TV show ever.
Well, good. I can skip it.
So you can skip it.
Excellent.
It was not easy.
It was definitely exactly like American Idol, though. I mean, they even had the surly British judge and the whole deal. It was just like, I'll wait for the real thing in a week, you know?
American Idol, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why bother with this show when you got American Idol coming back this month?
That BS starts again.
Is that the stakes are, you get to go on Broadway, right, and star in this Grease thing?
Yeah. Right.
It's like, so? Could you name me anybody who's starring on Broadway right now that wasn't already a star before they got into a Broadway show?
Exactly.
It's not like your life's not going to change. You're going to be a huge superstar just by being in Grease. Like American Idol, they give you a contract and stuff, and they support you, and you got there, and you saw a lot of records and whatnot. Just seemed a little lackluster to me.
So it's not good, but at least there's no payoff.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Excellent.
The late James Brown may be honored with a street named after him in Harlem, says the New York Post. Community leaders want to make part of 145th Street near Lenox Avenue in Manhattan into James Brown Street. Some people have also suggested the street be called Wife Beater Avenue. So we'll have to wait and see if that's going to go through or not. I don't know why they would want to call that. That would be...
It seems like it'd be a little insensitive.
Insensitive. And Wentworth Miller, star of Prison Break. Mike.
I know. You just hate him?
Says that he's not gay. Sorry, Mike.
Damn it.
Media reports have been questioning his sexuality lately. I wonder why that is. Wonder why some guys get singled out for the gay rumors and others don't. I guess because he's just too
good-looking. Good
just too good-looking.
Yeah, good-looking and probably single.
Yeah. The 34-year-old star says that, no, I'm not gay. I know these rumors are out there, and I'm cool with the fact that they exist. I mean, this is about fantasy. Certain people are going to have certain fantasies. If someone wants to imagine me with a woman or a man or one of each, that's cool with me as long as you keep watching the show. That's all that matters.
He's a little, you know, don't you think?
I think he's saying no, I think.
And I hope Wentworth doesn't mind me and my fantasies with him with a mongoose. Hope that's okay with him.
That's good. He's all good.
Today's celebrity birthdays are somewhere
on a piece
right
of paper,
here.
Someplace else.
Here they are.
Okay.
Bob Eubanks, longtime host of the Newlywed Game.
He's a fan.
No, he's not.
What?
Bob Eubanks. This is the guy who, the legendary moment on that game show, where he said, what's the most unusual place you've ever made whoopee?
Yep.
The woman said, that'd be in the butt, Bob.
Fantastic.
69 years old.
He's a homo.
David Bowie, singer-songwriter, is 60 years old today. R. Kelly.
Whoa. That was incredibly gay.
40 years old today. Where's the other chapters of In the Closet, by the way?
I don't know. We need them, though, badly.
Exhibit, rapper and guy who fixes your car. He's 33 years old today. Rachel Nichols, who played Rachel Gibson on Alias, is 27 years old today. I'm just going to have to stop bringing her up, I think.
Seriously.
It's almost intolerable. No.
I love to hear her name.
And Stephen Hawking, our pal Stephen Hawking, our little robot friend who gets around and wheels and talks with a computer. It's so cool. He's got the coolest life. It's almost as good as having a tail. Being able to talk through a computer and just wheel around.
You think that's good?
Yeah.
Wouldn't he trade the computer for the opportunity to walk again, though, Ralph?
Nah. Then you'd have to walk and stuff.
Have all that messy walking.
Imagine how long a pair of shoes lasts him.
Oh, God.
Ever. He must never wear out his shoes.
That's way to find the upside of the story.
That is safe. Think how much money he's saving. What do you think you've spent on shoes your entire life?
Oh, it's impossible to tell.
Thousands and thousands of dollars, right?
Him? It's one pair.
$50. He goes to Shoe for Less or whatever that store is. Picks up a pair of crappy shoes. He doesn't care.
They don't need support, right?
So you have to fit. What's the matter? I got blisters from walking. It's awesome. Stephen Hawking, you rule. He's 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ladies and gentlemen, making his first appearance in the 2007 season, although his second offer to be on the Kevin and Bean Show, he stiffed us last time. Please welcome back to the program, Petros Papadakis, ladies and gentlemen.
Who stiffed what? Listen, dude, I'm trying to drive here in the morning. You know, I get up out of bed for you guys.
Right.
And all Ralph does, and I heard him yesterday, is make fun of my lisp. And it's not cool. You know,
I have a
speech impediment. Where is Ralph? He's hiding from me now. I have a speech impediment. It's not fun to make fun of people with problems.
Of course it is.
We laughed a ton. It is fun.
You know, it is fun. it is kind of fun. I was laughing in the car, but then it's like after like 5 seconds, you're like, my God, I'm laughing at myself, and I talk for a living.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're making fun of me because I have like six toes or something, because I don't really use the sixth toe. I mean, I use my voice every day.
Right.
and everybody makes fun of me.
But look how amazing you are.
Yeah, props to you for making a living out
of more sports highlights coming up. and Psycho Mike does it too. Don't think I don't notice you over there.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
Feet tall, trying to act all swole.
Give me a little bit of your Petros, Mike.
Sorry, I lost a little weight. I had some food poisoning, some tainted tabbouleh, and some rancid hummus.
I think what we're saying is it's to your credit that you've been able to overcome the obvious disability and still succeed.
Stupid white short yardage tailback on a bad college football team. I didn't like practice broadcasting in the mirror when I was a kid. I didn't go to Syracuse. No, I just fell into this, and they're like, hey, do your own radio show. So I just have to talk. I have a bit of a lisp. My tongue is too big for my mouth, so it rattles. Oh, seriously, look at it. Hold on. I mean, obviously no one can see, but look, Kevin.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big tongue.
And
Lisa is intrigued. My teeth. Well, it's weak and flaccid, though. It's got no strength in it, Lisa. It couldn't do anything for you. But it rattles against my teeth when I talk.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Swank, that's a whole different deal.
It's a different
because
person.
Her jaw, she's got like an underbite, and she's also the next Karate Kid, so I think she got hit a couple times by Miyagi.
Well, sure. Steve, we got a lot of ground we need to cover with you since you have not seen
Yeah, a lot going on there, brother.
And I understand you had the food poisoning last week and couldn't come on with us. We wanted to have you on ahead of the Rose Bowl, but how did you feel your team looked in the Rose Bowl? You happy with the outcome?
Not my team, Bean. I represent the entire Pac-10. Huskies up there, brother.
Tell me you weren't rooting for the Trojans, though, as you sat at home watching the Rose Bowl.
I was actually at the game. I got food poisoning after the game.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it. You know, I thought for sure Michigan was going to win. You know, every year.
Really? You didn't think there was any question?
Well, every year I try not to fall into the cliche of, you know, how that game's going to go down. And you look at a Rose Bowl Michigan SC, especially with what USC has been and what Michigan has always been. And you say Big Ten is slow and fat white dudes with flat tops. And the Pac-10 has a bunch of guys from Crenshaw that are going to run sideline to sideline.
Right.
And that's how it went down. Michigan just could not keep up with USC speed, and SC turned around defensively and stopped their run. And after that, I mean, Michigan didn't have a prayer. I mean, it looked almost exactly like the game that Matt Leinart and Mike Williams played in the Rose Bowl versus Michigan a few years ago under Pete Carroll. I mean, it looked just like that. But I was surprised.
I know you can't go back and replay any certain games, but after they lost to UCLA, I imagine USC, especially after winning the Rose Bowl, they were like, it's got to be bittersweet. You go, yeah, we won the Rose Bowl. But...
Well, I think what happened was Pete Carroll did an amazing coaching job just to get those guys going, up and going, to be motivated to play in that game because they had lost their last two games in that building.
Right.
Obviously, a great letdown. I mean, they had scored 20 points or more in 64 straight games, and then they score 9 against UCLA. And don't take anything against
UCLA.
It's
almost like you were playing
performance. Again. It was. The last game I lost to UCLA was their 8th win in a row. And then USC turned around and won 2 straight. So that was going to be 8
for USC. Well, they got rid of the dead weight. That's why.
Yeah, they sure did. Oh, thanks a lot, Pete.
But look at Pete Carroll, though. Look at what an amazing coach he is to lose Leinart, to lose Bush, and to still come back and make it all the way to the Rose Bowl this
season.
Well,
people were saying that when Carson Palmer left. You know, people were saying that when Justin Fargus and Carson Palmer and Malifo McKenzie and guys like that were gone. And then Matt Leinart, and they get these two freshmen, Reggie Bush and Lindale White. So that's the nature of that program right now. And for as long as Carroll wants to do it, they will be the premier program in college football because they're in L.A. It's a huge market. There's no pro team, and people just love to watch them. They are exciting and fun to watch.
They're like our pro team because we don't have one.
Yeah, I got a lot of pro players.
What did you make of the controversy of Reggie Bush being essentially disinvited from even being in the crowd at the Rose Bowl? They said, hey, we didn't want you to come to the game.
I didn't think it was cool that they pinned it on my dad. You know, that my dad had a field pass for the game. And everybody said, well, John Papadakis is getting a field pass and not Reggie Bushy. John Papadakis stole Reggie Bush's field pass. It's like, dude, it doesn't work like that. First of all, there was a lot of guys on the sideline. And I'm not going to go as far as to say, you know, USC doesn't want Reggie Bush around. But there is a pending investigation that him and his family are not cooperating with. He did kind of leave the university holding the bag. Not even kind of. I mean, he kind of screwed the university. And because of that, maybe, you know, they're not that anxious to do him any favors.
I can see that.
But I don't know. I mean, I wasn't in their meetings or anything like that.
What would you think about a guy switching to professional football? What would you think about a guy who bet that the Dallas Cowboys were going to be in the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season, $50, and then on the day that they're eliminated from the playoffs, he doesn't bring any money to work?
Game of inches.
What would you think about that?
It's a game of inches. Who's that guy?
That guy would be Psycho Mike.
Well, how can you trust anything Psycho Mike says? Look at him. He makes fun of proficient broadcasters with lisps and stuff like that. Just all saying. He does his triceps all day.
I'm just saying, COWBOYS.
Big tricep blowout after work today. Yeah. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, it could have been there. It was real close. I mean, the poor guy dropped the thing. I mean, then if you don't drop the snap on the extra point, then you're on your way to the next playoff game. It's always, you know, very strange that game.
But
changes
by Seattle,
quick.
Who doesn't have one healthy player, I don't think, on the entire roster, do they?
I think so. I mean, I think they're all right. They're moving on. They have a beaked mascot. Who are they playing? The Bears?
Sunday Chicago. Morning Bears.
Well, the Bears are a very flawed football team. You know, I mean, they're great, and they've had a great year, but they're also very flawed, and, of course, they have the problems at quarterback, and you don't know if that guy's going to go out and throw five interceptions in the first quarter.
Right. Five touchdowns.
Yeah, he's 6 feet tall and 180 pounds, and he might throw five interceptions in the first quarter. So, you know, they could definitely be. The Seahawks got a chance. They got a good coach. Big fat one. From USC. He went to USC, played with my dad, Mike Holmgren.
He's no fat. Kidding, and he's won a Super Bowl before too. So.
There you go.
Is your dad fat too?
No, he's large though. He's big.
Large. Okay.
Yeah,
not fat. Large.
It's like a trash can.
Okay. Take a break. We got more. We want to talk to P about some good news and some bad news, and also we got to congratulate P on his new gig when we come back too. How about that?
Oh, it's popping off in the city.
Very exciting.
We'll be right back.
Our pal Petros Papadakis in the studio, the world-famous K-Rock. Hey, are you going to be still coming back to see us when
sure,
you start your
man,
hot new
whatever
radio
you guys
gig
want.
Today?
Hey, by the way, you know, you guys always making fun of my lisp.
Mm-hmm.
And Hillary Swank, God bless her, she's won a bunch of Oscars. All you guys do is play the damn Red Hot Chili Peppers, and that idiot Anthony Kiedis has a bigger lisp than anybody I've ever met in my life.
But he writes good lyrics.
And I've never
so
met
he's got that going
writes terrible lyrics.
Oh, right.
Hey-o.
God.
Petros,
Fairfax
I mentioned
High, that's all he has going for him.
I mentioned the new radio
gig. Yeah, big
and
show starting today. 4 o'clock.
We couldn't be more excited about you teaming up with one of our very, very favorite people in the whole wide world, our former sports guy, Matt Money Smith.
Oh, yeah.
The two of you are going to be together on Extra Sports starting this afternoon at 4, and that's a show that I'll listen to, my friend. Congratulations on that.
Thank you very much, and I'm very much looking forward to it. As you guys know, I mean, from doing this every day, I love radio. You know, I mean, yeah. I could do all the stupid cable TV in the world, and I love it, but, you know, it's special to be a radio guy. It's special to do radio every day. It's special to connect with people and talk to people on that level, especially locally. I've never had an interest in doing national sports because it's just you can't connect with people. And Money is the guy that introduced me to you guys. And he's been a friend for a long time. And we've been talking about, you know, doing something for a long time. And in the last couple weeks, you know, this thing really materialized and we're able to get it done. And I haven't even been over there yet, to be honest with you. So I'm going
nice.
Over there.
You'll like it.
Yeah, for the first time today. And we're going to have a show and we're going to hit the ground running and just try to bang it out for the people in the city.
How are you having a funeral for Joe Grundy?
What's going to happen with
I
that
think
dude,
he's
man?
Still, I think he's still employed there.
He's still employed. Okay.
I have no idea.
Just checking. I'm just saying you pushed him out. How does that feel?
How
does that feel?
I fielded the calls and offers, and my management worked out the deal to work there.
Petros hates
there.
All brown men, is what I hear. I hear that he's not down with brown.
Oh, come on, dude. I'm Mr. La Raza, dude. I'm
just
people
saying.
In the city.
Hey,
I listen to Kid Frost on the way over here.
One more question on the extra gig, and that is, are you aware of the smells that Money makes? Do you have any idea what it's like to be in a room with that dude every day?
Oh, really? Because I hate flatulence.
Oh, excellent.
This is you got to be kidding me.
No.
We share an office.
He's the
worst.
Not kidding.
He used to walk. I got to go punish the porcelain, is what he used to say.
But and he's there, got like a beautiful wife and beautiful kids. Well, how does she tolerate that?
Money,
I don't know.
Money's not like most guys who appreciate his own farts. You go and fart at Money, and he wafts it into his own face. He goes, yeah, that's good. Good stuff.
He's obsessed with the ass pee. I can't warn you enough about that.
I'm a former football player, and everybody thinks that we run around and like snap each other with our jock straps
he's
and like, you know,
that.
Look at each
that.
Other's, you know, feces. But we don't. I don't. I'm just.
You will.
Never into that time
you
of
will
oh, no,
Petros
no. No,
you need
are gonna change
it's about
you
to happen.
Need no, you no. better you better stop by on your way to work today and buy yourself some sort of a charcoal filter you can put in front of your face because you're gonna need it full time
dude don't because it's my first day of work
we're not kidding we're not kidding you're going to be in a fog
dude it took he was gone a year before we could start to breathe normally in this building I'm telling you he is rough
dude I was at his house this weekend I didn't notice anything
he was putting on his A game for you man
yep
but now that you've signed the deal NHL, you're screwed.
Just all right, this is going to be one of the more difficult transitions in radio history, but we'll go from money's rear end to what's the deal with your pal, the USC kicker? Terrible, terrible news that just came out this weekend. What happened?
It's big story, and it's sad. You know, Mario Dinello, the USC kicker, he's a record-breaking kicker at USC from my hometown of San Pedro, played at San Pedro High School, going into his fifth season at USC, was going to be the kicker again, I guess, and his dad was a kicker in the NFL. He had an accident or something happened on a very famously mysterious cliff in San Pedro, which was about a mile from his house and about 2 miles from my house.
You mean by mysteriously, you mean stuff like this happens every once in a while?
A lot in that place, as my dad said in the paper. It is where Point Furman is where it is in San Pedro, and it's where nature meets man. I mean, it's water on three sides. It's very cold, very windy. He was very familiar with the area. It was very close to his home. And I guess the last time anybody saw him was midnight Friday night. And, you know, they discovered the body the next afternoon.
And they ruled out any kind of foul play.
There's no murder or anything like that. There was no fight, nothing like that. It's just very mysterious, very sad kind of thing. And, you know, I work in sports, so this is sports news. And,
right.
You know, you got to report on it and you have to discuss it. But it is difficult and very sad because, you know, you don't get into the business to talk about this kind of stuff.
No, of course not. But Petros, I have to ask because there were some people who were kind of making fun of him after the Rose Bowl for missing those point after touchdowns.
Yeah.
They missed two kicks. I mean, even Letterman made fun of him the next day or something like that. I mean, is it possible that it really, really bummed him out to the point where this was not an accident?
I can't imagine that. I mean, just knowing the kid, I mean, he was nothing but a genuine, and I wasn't super close with him. I hate people that do that. When somebody dies, they try to act like, you know, it's like Heathers all over again.
Right, right.
But, you know, he was always just a really smiley, happy, seemingly, you know, genuine guy.
Not the kind of guy that would ever do something like that on
purpose. No, you couldn't imagine that, you know. Yeah. And I've lost, you know, three ex-teammates. I never played with Mario, but I lost with three ex-teammates last year, you know, in accidents. Daryl Russell, Mike Bastinelli on La Cienega, Travis Claridge with some kind of weird heart attack thing in Vegas, and then USC with their freshman point guard, Ryan Francis, and I work for USC Basketball, was shot and killed in Louisiana. So
that's right.
It's definitely been a tough couple years for USC people. It's been very, very difficult because, you know, these are, you know,
you're the only
athletes.
Person that's tied to all of these, though, I think.
No, a lot
don't you see some kind of a trend here?
A lot of people are. But it's tough because, you know, I mean, these are young athletes and, you know, you have a tendency to think they're invincible and they have a tendency to think they're invincible. And,
right.
You know, it's very sobering, you know, when something like this goes down.
Well, a guy like him is gone and you're still alive. Clearly something's wrong with the system.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
No question.
Well, I've been cheating it for a long time.
All right. We have four games this coming weekend, then we got to run.
Who cares?
Indianapolis, Baltimore. You don't care.
Baltimore.
Hey, right?
The only team ever in the NFL named after a poem. Edgar Allan Poe from Baltimore. I'm talking to the wall here, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
The Raven, Nevermore.
I know, I understand
that. Kevin.
Philadelphia, New Orleans?
Oh. Well, I'm not going to say Philly because Ralph's here. I'm taking the
New Orleans.
Yeah, 504, Magnolia, home of the soldier, New Orleans.
New England, San Diego? That's the game,
tough
right?
Tough game.
That's the game.
Tough game because New England, you know, they're so well coached and they have so many good players and they have so much experience in the playoffs. San Diego's been like the hot team all year, kind of the flavor of the year. But I like San Diego at home. I like LaDainian Tomlinson. He's the best
He's
in
great.
The business. I'm taking the Chargers. They're owned by a Greek.
That's not interesting.
Alex Spanos.
And Seattle and Chicago.
Free pasticho in the press box.
What the hell are you talking about?
What's the other game?
This is why we like P, because he never talks about sports.
Oh, I don't care. Well, what's the other
Seattle,
game?
Seattle-Chicago. At Chicago.
Chicago's a very flawed football team.
Yeah.
So, Bean, you guys got a chance. But okay. I'm taking the Bears.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, no one can blame you there, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
Sorry about the Cowboys there, Psycho Mike.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah,
he's not really.
The Cowboys are done. The Seahawks go on.
By the way, before we go, I did lift just a couple of quick John Maddens off the game this Saturday because I think it was their last game. I think it was the last NBC
game. Is he starting
NBC
to lose
game.
It a little?
Starting
to.
Come on. He's been losing
hey,
it for
have you
years.
Ever seen him in person?
Yes.
I mean, it's frightening.
His head is
he's
giant.
It's like
all.
Somebody poured him out of a cement mixer, you know?
It so is.
And then just added moles and aging spots.
He has to weigh 1,000 pounds.
He won't sign autographs for kids and stuff.
Really?
He's a real a-hole, yeah.
Well, I think he and Al are done. I think that was the last NBC game. But let's see what John Madden was talking about in the game.
You know, that's the sweetest ride of all. I mean, that's the one that makes us all do what we do or we've done.
That's what you love about John, man. That's, I don't know what he's talking about there, but he's sure. And more?
Barry Como was a crooner, and there aren't any crooners anymore. Have you noticed that?
No crooners.
What about John Legend? Right.
What happened to the crooners?
They'll be back.
You think so?
That's what I love about John Madden. There could be 50 football analysts working. He's the only one that's going to talk about whether Perry Como was a crooner or not.
Well, I might, but the point is...
He's the Petros Papadakis of the sports
world. Well, no. The point is, that's how... He's a coach. He's a former coach.
Right.
And that's how coaches talk. You can never understand what they say. You know what coaches always say? It is what it is.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, what is that? What do you mean it is what it is? That doesn't make any sense. That is the most... That is the biggest crock of BS I've ever heard. It's the most dismissive statement. It is what it is. Hey, coach, how come you said I was going to play in the press and I didn't play. I was just on the kickoff team breaking the wedge like a slave. Well, it is what it is.
They learn that language as they come up. It's just their own language.
Yeah, so they just know how to talk without really saying anything. They're great at that.
Yeah, well that's true.
Kevin is going to miss him. It's always a very sad day when John Madden puts away the headphones for another season.
He's the best.
He's definitely, I mean, he's great in that, and this is probably too technical, but he really does notice the line. The offensive and defensive line. And he can draw and tell you what's going on there. And a lot of people, you know, they don't get that opportunity watching, you know, some idiot quarterback analyze the game because everybody hates quarterbacks.
Yeah,
and I don't want to hear about, like, you know, how great the quarterback is and how cool it is to be the quarterback and, you know, how many times you've had sex with a cheerleader with, you know, the uniform on. Sex with a cheerleader with the uniform on. Never. Oh. Or just a cheerleader in general. I went out with one girl who was a cheerleader in high school and I was like, oh, break out that outfit. We were like at her house by herself and like she had gotten so much fatter. It's like I could fit the skirt on my head like as a headband. There was no way it was gonna get around. It couldn't even fit around her thigh like a garter thing.
That is sad.
It was awful.
And finally before we go, the Clippers. Okay, back to you.
Tostitos BCS National Championship tonight at on Fox, by the way. I think it's at 5 o'clock.
Ohio State tonight.
Gotta be, right?
Yeah, it's gotta be the Buckeyes. I'm in love with the Clippers. We still got a chance.
Nope.
Quit hating just because you beat the Mavericks last night.
Come on, they were
a playoff barf.
Didn't they win like 13 games in a row or something, the Mavericks? They come in and we beat them. Come on, dude.
We?
Yeah, me. I'm on the team.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm on the team.
Yeah, because you're rocking the dry fit under the jersey, and you're getting your ankles taped at night, and you're interviewing money on the radio.
Actually,
and,
that is true.
Whatever,
it's all true. Mm-hmm. Speaking of money, again, this afternoon, 4 to 7, 570.
I'll see you there. That's 570, 4 o'clock.
And tonight
sports highlights for the people of the city.
And tonight at 5 o'clock, I guess, is the big national championship game.
I think Petros does a better Petros than Mike does, even.
Yeah, maybe because I am Petros.
Maybe that's why.
That's right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Kevin, it's got to be killing you once again this year to not be in Las Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Show. I know you love it.
Well, these bastards, they changed it from the weekend to during the week.
Oh.
So how am I supposed to do it? But we do have Jim Barry on the line. Jim is on our show from time to time. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How are you? We miss you here.
Spokesperson for the Consumer Electronics Association. This is the big group of electronic, I guess, companies that come to Las Vegas. And they show all the new stuff that's going to be coming out soon.
Well, you're absolutely right. We've got we have over 140,000 people from 130 countries and over 2,700 exhibitors. So that's a lot.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, we got a couple things we want to ask you about that we've heard of, and then you can tell us stuff that's so new we don't even know about it. One of the things that I'm excited about that I've been reading a lot about lately in the magazines, and I don't know if Apple has a presence there at the convention or not, but a lot of talk about some sort of an iPod thing that's also a phone. What do you know about that?
Well, that's up in San Francisco this week, and I don't know anything about that right now, but we've heard a lot about that. They are not here. They have their own show.
Okay.
But what we have here are lots of phones that are also MP3 players, and then we have phones that are also televisions. The big news here is televisions that are getting bigger and televisions that are getting smaller. So we have over 100-inch LCD and plasmas here. I don't know about you guys, but I'd need to get a new house to hang that on.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Tell us about the satellite TV in a box. What's that?
satellite in a box?
Yes, like a suitcase.
Well, you've got satellite TV. You know that you can do that. The best thing about satellite TV is you can put it in something the size of an iPod, something very, very small. So you can take satellite TV. They're moving now into smaller and smaller devices. So I haven't seen the suitcase one yet, but you know the show actually doesn't open for another hour or so.
Oh, is that right? It hasn't even begun yet.
No. And you're right. It is unfortunate for you guys, but this is the way the calendar falls. This year it's Monday to Thursday. The show usually runs Thursday to Sunday, which allows a lot of the guys to get out on the weekend and see it.
Exactly.
Jim Barry on the line, spokesperson for the Consumer Electronics Association, calling from the convention in Las Vegas. Unfortunately, not open to the public, so you can't just get in your car and drive out there. Unfortunately, you got to be invited. What do you make of the push that you've been hearing in recent months, Jim, about the high definition radio? I guess is what they're calling it. Is there any kind of
radio? We see more sets here, radios. You know, we don't call them sets. We call them radios. And this is the oldest medium. We've been on the radio for 80 years. But HD radio is digital. Most people think of digital as being satellite radio, but it's not. It's your terrestrial, what they call terrestrial radio, but it means you guys. It's local radio, free, over the air, but now using digital technology. So on the same channel, they call it in-band on channel, instead of sending out magnetic waves, as we've always done, we send out a stream or packets of ones and zeros, of bits. So that means you get much better clarity, for one thing, so you can get FM quality on AM, CD quality on FM, and you can put a couple different programs in the same channel. So you guys could do talk and music and sports and weather all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Is there much buzz that you're picking up on from consumers for that product, or is this just something that the industry is hoping will take off?
Well, there isn't much buzz yet from consumers, and a couple of things. One, the big difference between digital high-definition radio and high-definition TV is there's no deadline. In TV, there's a deadline because it's a separate channel, and they have to give one of the channels back,
right.
And that final deadline is 2009. Since it's the same channel, there isn't a deadline on radio. There are a lot more. There's over 1,000 broadcasters now on the air with HD radio. And I think this year we're going to start to see the prices come down on the radios. Most of us think of spending less than $50 for a radio. These first HD radios cost more like $200 for one that you'd put on your bureau. And then more and more are being built into cars. So I think over the next couple of years we're going to see a lot more of that.
I got to say props for the word bureau, first of all. And second of all, K-Rock's been broadcasting in HD for, like 3 years or something.
Yeah.
We have no idea why it's...
Who's listening.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right.
Not one person, Jim.
Now, it does take a while for things to get to the market, though. Like, in 1998 is when they started introducing high-def TV. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of now starting to get saturated. What are the new things, Jim, that are coming this year that, you know, are going to be trends in 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, well, you're right about that. And last year was the first year we bought more HD TVs than analog TVs. So it did take that long
finally
to make that transition. And this year, all TVs will be digital. One thing that we've been talking about is the next generation of digital video discs, of DVDs, that will be high definition. And as you guys know, there's been this format war that started last year with Blu-ray and HD DVD, two non-compatible competing formats. Well, two solutions to that have been offered.
Excellent.
Here at the show.
Yes.
One is called from LG. It's a player. It's the LG Multi Blue Player, and that will play either your HD DVD or your Blu-ray disc. It's going to be about $1,200, available in the second quarter, so before the summer.
Right.
And the other solution is from Warner's, is a disc that will play on either one. So on one side, it's Blu-ray. On the other side, it's HD DVD.
The difficulty here, for those of you that don't care about this, is that you start buying movies or whatever, and then that brand goes under, and now you got to start again with the other brand. It's you got to kind of wait for this stuff to just flush itself out.
Yeah, well, that's happened unfortunately happens a lot in consumer electronics. There's a lot of expense in developing these things, so these companies want to leverage that once they get it to market. But we have, this isn't the same as Beta and VHS, because there are other ways to watch high-definition movies, like over the air or through cable or satellite or pay-per-view.
I got
back in the Beta VHS days, if you wanted to record off the air, those were your only two choices.
Jim Barry on the line from the Consumer Electronics Association and the show going on in Las Vegas. Here's one I have to ask about, Jim, because in my dreams, I have internet in my car. How far away are we from that happening?
Well, it's actually here in some demo models and so forth here at the show. I think as a practical matter, again, this is that you mentioned HD being introduced. The CD was introduced here at the first Vegas show in 1978 and then was in the stores in 82. So that was a kind of a four-year lag. And it's usually about that amount of time. So I think it's a couple of years away from when it's going to be available widely to consumers. And at first, you know, it'll be like most electronics. It'll be at the high end of the price. It'll be, well, it'll be priced for radio personalities before.
Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people who think eventually, wireless technology has proven so popular, and there are some cities, I think San Francisco is one that's made a large, Portland is another that's made a large area of their downtown, have free wireless for everybody. A lot of people think eventually the whole country will be have wireless internet, and you'll be able to go anywhere in the United States and be able to pick up the internet. You think that'll happen?
Well, that may very well be. And there is, you know, that's one of the battles on all of this is what's free and what would you have to pay for. But wireless technology, short range using Bluetooth and longer range using Wi-Fi and then even faster ones like WiMAX and so forth is definitely the trend. You know, the typical household has 26 consumer electronics products. I bet you guys are raising that bar a bit.
Trying our best.
And connecting that, and actually the number goes up to closer to 40 if you have teenagers, and connecting those, either wired or wirelessly, is one of the next big trends in electronics, and we see more and more of that here at the show.
All right, one last question. Usually the adult video awards go on the same time as the CES, and do you think for best movie it's going to be sexual harassment or beach blanket boners? Which do you think is going to win?
I have to admit that sadly I haven't seen either.
Oh, Jim.
Oh, Jim, you've been working too hard, man. You got to carve out some time for Jim.
Exactly.
Well, we love having you on. I always wish we had more time because we didn't even get into gaming and some of the other things that you're going to be seeing. But maybe when you get some time, maybe later in the year, you can come back and tell us some of the stuff you see once you've seen it out there in Las Vegas.
And your listeners can also go to CES Web, CESWEB.org, and that links to media coverage and all kinds of other stuff. So you can get a kind of a virtual CES, even though you can't be here.
Fantastic.
Great idea. Jim Barry, Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Great
Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you.
Heritage for the Blind. Call 800 to donate for hassle-free pickup. 800, the number 2, donate. Or visit 800todonate.org. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Lisa wants to give cars to blind people. What the hell's she thinking? That's just cruel, isn't it? Hey, here's a car, blind guy.
No,
what are you going to do?
That's not.
No, I can't drive it.
Not understanding.
Giving 50 cents a month to poor Mexican kids in South America and just giving blind people cars. You're the worst charitable person ever.
She tries. She's just bad at it.
I try.
She's just bad. 8:59, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Night at the Museum, the Ben Stiller comedy. 24 additional $1 million this
week. Wow.
Monster hit. Pursuit of Happiness, number 2 at the box office. The Will Smith dramedy. Is it a dramedy or is it just a drama?
It's more a drama.
It's a little dramedy.
It's not very, very Eddie. It's not very much. It's
and he's
more
sleeping
drama.
In the bathroom, though. That's funny, right?
No.
Not really.
No?
No.
Uh-huh. It looks funny
That's
to me.
It's not the comedy part.
Children of Men.
Oh.
Number 3 at the box office this weekend.
That doesn't even make any sense.
No, it doesn't. Let's just move on. Freedom Riders. Number 4, the box office this weekend. Which
Who's in that
Swank.
One, Ralph?
Hillary Swank.
Okay.
Dreamgirls, number 5, Happily Never After was 6, Charlotte's Web, The Good Shepherd, Rocky Balboa, and We Are Marshall, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees were announced today. These 5 acts will be inducted on March 12th in New York City. Going into the Hall of Fame for 2007, Grandmaster Flash and the Furious 5. That's Kid Creole, Cowboy, Grandmaster Flash, Melly Mel, Mr. Ness, and Raheem. Oh, I love Raheem.
Yeah.
Does good work. R.E.M. is also going in. The Ronettes, Patti Smith, and Van Halen going in, including Sammy Hagar.
Oh. That's so lame. David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar.
Way lame.
That's just stupid.
We got to get on the phone and fix that somehow.
Yeah, we can fix that?
Yes. All I'm going to call up the museum.
All right.
Say, hey, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, First of all, Rodney's in it. Second of all, Sammy Hagar's in it. What's going on with you over there?
What will it be like when David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar are on the same stage at the same place at the same time?
A lot of hair pulling, scratching.
Hopefully.
I hope so.
That's best case scenario right
there. A lot of bitch fighting going on. That's my guess. Speaking of fighting, Heather Mills is accused of kicking a woman outside of a coffee shop after she saw the same woman snapping pictures of her with a camera phone. The London Sun reports that Emma Levy, the photographer, is saying that Heather jumped up, grabbed her by the throat, pushed her towards the door. She lashed out with her left leg, kicking me in the bum.
Yeah.
I have a big bruise. No, it's not a joke.
Now, did you do some research? Do you know which one is her fake and which one is her real?
We still haven't found out which one is fake and which one is real yet.
Because I think I would...
No one can confirm.
I think I would plant on my good leg and kick with my bad leg.
No, I don't think you get much... It's all upper leg. You're not getting much torque, I think, if you swing the bad leg.
But it doesn't
leg.
Hurt if but you if you kick with the
you
bad
just,
leg.
You just balance, I think. You lock and balance on the prosthetic, and then you, boot with the good leg.
But if you poked at him.
But doesn't she have... She's only from the knee down, right? She's only missing from the knee down?
Yeah, I think so.
So she has enough... Like, she has hip flexors and stuff. So now she's got, like, a built-in club on the ball.
Yeah, so you whack that. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think it's just... I don't think it's...
You
just,
kick with the
hinge is just waving at the end of her knee there, Mike. I don't think it just swings back and forth like a picket fence.
How do you know? Maybe it does.
Maybe I have a fake leg. Maybe after all these years, awesome? There's something you don't know about me. Heather's spokesman, who confirms the episode, says that Heather only reacted in such a severe fashion because she feared the photographer was a reporter. And Heather had been speaking privately with her attorney outside the coffee shop.
Okay. So she was outside the coffee shop and...
talking to the attorney, and then this woman took a picture, and according to Heather's spokesperson, Heather did kick her up the backside. All the staff and customers started clapping. I doubt that.
Yeah, me too.
People in England also speculate Heather could have had an accomplice. They're currently looking for another model with no arms, no legs, a male model who they found floating in a pool named Duncan.
Oh, no kidding.
Another male model with no arms and no legs was in the trunk of a car named Jack. Guy with no arms and no legs they found in a pile of leaves called Russell. And a young lady who had no arms and no legs on a tennis court, they call her Annette. Cops looking to talk to all of those people in connection with the assault.
How do those people run, Ralph? How do those people not get found? They don't have any arms and legs.
They roll really quickly.
According to Dave, the King of Mexico, Heather Mills' left leg is fake.
Well, there you go.
Left leg.
Now we know. She lashed out with her left leg, the story says.
Wow.
She did, in fact, use the prosthetic leg as a weapon.
Yeah.
I think that's chargeable with the possession of a deadly leg. I think she should go to jail for the rest of her life. And this is no relation to showbiz at all.
Yeah.
But I couldn't resist it.
So it's a good thing you're covering in the showbiz?
It's what they call a kicker story in the business.
Right. Yeah. I thought the last one was the kicker story.
Hey, what the?
Because Heather Mills.
I don't know if you guys heard or not, but the American Dialect Society has chosen a new word of the year. Have you heard about this?
We don't have to get into
I haven't.
Yeah.
I don't think we've talked about it yet. The word of the year for 2006
is what?
Why is to be Plutoed. To be Plutoed is a new word that's been accepted by the American Dialect Society. Definition, to be demoted or devalued.
Yes.
You got Plutoed would mean that you got demoted or you lost your standing in some way.
I love it.
How about that Pluto?
So I just thought we should cover that since I hadn't heard anybody mention it. But
excellent.
Word of the year is Plutoed.
And Plutoed.
What happened, Jim? Oh, rough times at work. What happened? I got Plutoed.
By Heather Mills.
No, that would be kicked. Okay. Completely different.
Sorry.
Bean, still there?
Yeah.
Bean loves Pluto.
He got Plutoed.
They just keep piling it on, don't they? And by the way, I want to thank every single one of our listeners for sending me that story. Got it. Thank you.
So you want... So Bean and K-Rock.
No, no, no. What I'm saying is I received
that story, Bean
a thousand times.
Pluto.
I'm aware of it.
Send
I got
it to Bean.
It.
He likes Pluto.
By the way, people sending in the arms and legs jokes.
Yeah.
Think about what you're sending me.
Don't just write whatever.
Read it once over before you hit that send button.
Whatever's on the top of your head.
Yeah, don't send. Did you hear about the cute triplets with no arms and no legs who live in your calendar? April, May, and June. Nobody lives in a calendar. I mean, I know
all of your jokes.
I know. I'm just going to say,
realistic.
I know mine. Stretch it a little bit. But no one lives in a calendar is what I'm
saying.
But
there's a guy at the bottom of a pool. You're fine with that.
People, do you find people in the bottom of a pool, don't you?
All right.
Sure.
On the wall, hang on the wall.
People can be in a trunk. People can hang on a wall. People can be on a tennis court.
Okay.
Who lives in a calendar? That's what I want to know.
April, May, and June.
April, May, and June.
But there's no calendar
tie-in there to them having no arms and legs. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Even if they could live in a calendar, it doesn't make any sense.
Give it a once-over.
Let's say that they could live in a calendar.
Let's say. Let's say it was a calendar large enough to house three women.
It's just not happening.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bob Eubanks, longtime game show host, most notably for the Newlywed Game. That'd be in the butt, Bob. 69 years old today. Stephen Hawking, famed scientist, is 65 years old today. David Bowie, singer, songwriter, married to the supermodel Iman.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
60 years old today. He looks pretty good for 60, that David Bowie. R. Kelly?
Yeah. He was, excuse me, he was, David Bowie was in the, one of those magic movies. What was the one? Not The Illusionist?
The
Prestige?
What was the
other one? Prestige. He was in The Prestige, yeah.
I did not
Or The Illusionist,
that.
Whichever one. He was in one of them. He was very good.
Email Bean at krock.com if you have the information.
R. Kelly, Trapped in the Closet fame, 40 years old today. Exhibit turns 33, and I think that's it.
No, I think you're forgetting one. There's a very talented young actress celebrating her birthday today, too.
No, I don't think so.
She's 27 years old today. Perhaps you know her from her appearance on the Alias television show.
I don't think so.
I think you mean to mention Rachel Nichols is celebrating her birthday today. The lovely Miss Rachel.
But you gave her the bell enough in the first three for like the next 10 years.
Rachel was on the list earlier today when I was doing Showbiz News, but she got Pluto'd.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz beat.
First, though, we got to take care of some business. We got problems in our midst. We found out that Lisa, who on the surface appears perfect, is actually a cheap bastard.
What? Well, yeah, she was talking on Friday about how she does charity. And Lisa May is a big-hearted woman, if nothing else. She really gives and gives till it hurts.
I really do.
And Friday, we found out just how much and where it goes.
Well, in that case, I have like five Mexican kids in South America that I send 50 cents to a month.
50 cents Same a thing. Month. Wow,
it
you're really
sport. It feeds them and clothes them.
Man, big
That's
spender.
What they
yeah,
say.
I bet they're eating well and wearing spectacular clothing for 50 cents a month.
No.
50 cents
Lisa,
a month.
Yeah, I understand it's cheap and they've got a program and they buy in bulk, but honestly, what do you think they're getting for 50 cents a month? Not a day, a month.
Dude, listen.
Listen, I want to clarify. Okay. It almost sounds like I'm sending five kids 50 cents a month.
Right.
I'm sending them each 50 cents a month. Not all together, but each of them.
So each gets 50
each
cents a month.
Each of them gets 50 cents a month.
Well, that makes it so much better.
Well, yeah. And I thought maybe you didn't understand.
And why are these Mexican kids in South America?
This I don't know.
Okay.
All right. Lisa, you did not give us a lot to go on, but shockingly, producer Lightning was able to line up. I think we're actually going to be able to talk to one of the kids who's a recipient of your 50 cents per month.
No.
Wow.
Kidding.
You know, a lot of times it's nameless, faceless. You just write the check and you never really know where it goes. I think you're going to get a chance to hear the gratitude from the young man or no girl.
I sent that $250 check and I really don't know.
The product of your largesse is on hold. That's fantastic.
Well, put them on so they can say thank you.
All right. Good morning, little boy.
Luda.
Hello?
What?
What's up, eh? Hey, pass me the motor, Vato.
Hello?
Hey, hello?
Hello?
Hey, what's up, eh?
We thought we would be talking to a little boy or girl that Lisa is helping support in Mexico or somewhere in South America.
Yeah, that's right. That's me. What's up? It's Rudy, Vato. What's happening, eh?
Rudy?
Rudy, what are you
are
doing?
Rudy?
I'm in South America somewhere. Like, Lima, Peru or something like that, eh?
Why are you there?
That's where all the Mexicans live.
Well, because, like, listen, like, a couple weeks ago, I'm, like, down at the Home Depot at corner of Rampart and, like, Melrose or something.
Right.
And I'm, like, waiting for work or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm all buzzed and, like, this vato comes up. He's like, hey, who wants some work? And I'm like, you know it. You know, I got kids to feed. You know what I'm saying? Like,
uh-huh.
Child support left and right. So I'm like, what do I got to do? He's like, you got free room and board for, like, forever. It's a nice climate. And like, you know, I'll take care of it. You're out today. And it's good pay. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, all right, whatever. Next thing I know, I'm on this, like, little plane. And I'm in South America. I'm building bridges and stuff. You know what I'm
you're
saying?
You're building
like
bridges?
Little, yeah, I'm in a little village. And I'm doing all this work and stuff, like manual labor. It's like... Like
and how much
you World Trade like type program or something, you know what I'm saying?
And how much do you get paid?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I'm waiting for my check, and I get this letter from Lisa May, and I'm like, whatever, you know? Like, my highness keeping in touch from America. That's clean.
Right.
And there's two quarters in there, bitch.
Right.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
That's the program. 50 cents a month.
That's your money.
You should be able to get all your medical care, food, clothing, shelter, everything for that.
You should be able to get a shank in your neck hole.
Whoa, hold on here, Rudy.
Wait a minute. I need to stay up with the gear.
All right.
I've already got 4 kids here. I've been here like a week. I mean, 4 kids. I got payments to make.
You have 4 more kids?
Yeah, bring me off some cash. You know,
Rudy,
what I like? Maybe like a Raiders jacket or like.
Listen, she's.
Look, Rudy, I'm not saying that you don't have to shop around for deals a little bit. You do. It's not like you can walk into the best store and get everything you need, but come on.
And don't think you're the only person she's supporting this way.
Five people, 50 cents a month. That's $2.50.
Oh, no, you're right.
That's
things
like
are real cheap down here. I'm stuffed from the last 50 cents. I'm like a hibernating bear. I can't wait till next month. Oh, I'm so full from the half a tortilla and one bean I got. Bring me on some ends. I've been smoking mota left and right. I'm hungry. Eh? I got the munchies.
Oh, well, how do you have money to smoke?
Well, yes, because there's a shortage of drugs in South America, you dumb bitch. Not only
Rudy,
cheap, you're dumb,
don't
too.
Talk to her that way.
Rudy,
she's supporting you.
Off.
Oh,
you
look
don't
at that.
I cut you
like,
off, Rudy. You don't even appreciate.
I'd rather you send nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm a hustler. I'll make my own ends. You don't go to a restaurant and leave a tip for 50 cents. That's insulting. You know what I'm saying?
You don't go to a restaurant at all. You're poor.
Look at that.
Don't rub salt on the wound, eh? You know what I'm saying?
This is ugly.
I'm stuck down here. You know, Nick, I got to do whatever I can to make my ends. I'm counting on you guys. To help me out,
Lisa,
you know?
Don't cut him off.
I thought we were down, eh?
Rudy, you're not being fiscally responsible.
Right, but don't cut him off. Keep the flow going.
I don't know.
I mean, Rudy,
I'm really
what
does
her
main thing
have to
this.
Do with anything?
Oh, that's not what we're talking about, Rudy. Listen, she's accusing you. I want to make sure everybody understands what's happening here, Rudy. You're living on 50 cents a month, and Lisa is accusing you of squandering it.
Yeah, like, what's up with that?
I mean, fiscally responsible.
He went into a restaurant. No, you go to the little taco bars on the corner.
Oh, I'm
that's
sorry.
What you
okay,
can
I need to be more discriminating with my choices that I'm making with the 50 cents you're giving me.
That's what I'm saying.
You pompous white bitch.
Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It is Kevin and Beans.
What do you do, nephew?
This is what's awesome, too. You get your choice of two great prizes, either a pair of tickets to the Monster Jam January 13th at Angel Stadium of Anaheim, or a pair of lift tickets to join K-Rock this weekend at Snow Summit. You know, snow, guys, is arriving now at Big Bear. Ralph, it seems like only yesterday you were complaining that it was 90 freaking degrees and it was never going to snow. Well, now it's finally getting into the season.
Really? Is it? Now that it's going to be 85
today?
85, right.
There's going to be tons of snow. Is that what you tell me? Now that it's 85, the snow is coming.
Snow is arriving now at Big Bear is what it says here, so I choose to believe it.
Maybe they're trucking it in.
Yeah. It's coming in the form of a bottle because it's water.
They've got snow-making machines.
It's not cold enough to make snow.
Isn't Al Gore laughing his ass off right now?
I'm not the one saying
this. Are they controlling the weather?
Yes, they are. They can control the weather.
All right.
Michael in Panorama City, good morning.
Well, what it do, nephew?
All right, man. My girlfriend, dude, she dumped me this weekend.
Your girlfriend dumped you?
Yes, because she found out I went to the Red Wings and Kings game.
Yeah.
And, well, instead of having dinner at her parents' place, I lied to her, told her I had a family emergency.
Well, that's a good choice.
Yes, it is. It was an awesome choice. Not like Kevin, you know?
Yeah, I know. But you couldn't have said to her, hey, I really want to go to the Kings game?
No, it was either an ultimatum, but, you know, the Kings are more important.
Okay, well, if she's putting up an ultimatum of my family or the Kings, then you made the right choice.
Yes, I did.
All right.
You can go to have dinner at her folks anytime.
Exactly. Thanks for calling, Michael. We appreciate it. And then the Kings won 4-2.
Plan those dinners when the Kings are out of town. That's what you do.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Jenner in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jenner.
Hey, fellas. Good morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Jenner.
Okay, am I the only one who's worked up about these freaking playoffs? Why don't we have a team? Why doesn't the city have a team? We got freaking Dave going for Arizona. We got Mike going for the Cowboys. Ralph going for the Eagles. What about L.A.? Hey, you think freaking Bean has a team?
But, Jenner, there's no team here. What are we supposed to do? Just start rooting for L.A.?
Well, think about it. All these damn parking tickets I've paid in the last 10 years, they could have built a football stadium. I mean, we've spent so much money in the damn city.
I know.
It's a damn team.
I don't know what the problem is either, but we don't have one. So it's...
Kevin. Bean
yes.
has a team.
I know that, but what do I have to say about it? If it was up to me, we'd have a team.
Why isn't there a team is what Jenner's question is.
Why is there no team? Oh, that's the question.
The NFL's not in a big rush to put a team in L.A.
Why is that?
Because ratings are huge in Los Angeles for football because everyone who moves here from another city, like myself, ends up watching their home team on television.
But wouldn't that still happen?
I suppose.
You're not going to change to a Los Angeles team.
But it would cost an enormous amount of money.
Unless you're Mike, yeah.
It would cost an enormous amount of money to build a stadium and to move a team. And it's just,
I guess.
It's a cost effectiveness.
And they've been so close so many times on getting that football team, but it just has never happened.
Usually they introduce a team into a market where the NFL needs to be bolstered up, you know, to attract some sort of attention.
Yeah, I guess so.
LA's right. already a pretty big football town.
I guess so.
Well, it seems like the Raiders are due to come back any day now, right? I mean, that's
sure.
how it goes with them, right?
It's about time. Let's say good morning to Mike in Garden Grove. Good morning, Mike.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Yeah, I need to know where I need to make a payment. I'm the proud recipient of a You Park Like an A-Hole ticket.
Fantastic.
Wow. And what was the little, what box was checked on yours? What did you do wrong?
Diagonal parking, not so cool car.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, Mike. Wow. What are you thinking?
Diagonal parking. So you took up two spaces because you didn't want anyone to dent your door?
Well, we were in a hurry, and it was at Costco, and I figured there's tons of Asian drivers there, you know.
Oh, I see. It's them. It's all them.
Right there on the windshield, there it was, you know.
That's awesome.
I hope
That's
you pay
fantastic.
That in full, my
you
friend.
You earned it.
Yes, you did. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Robin, who's calling from just the 909 in general, I guess. Robin, good morning.
What it do?
Well, what it do, nephew?
I just wanted to bring to your guys' attention that the CHP website has a theme song.
Really?
Well, sure, everybody knows the CHP song.
Wait a minute.
California Highway Patrol, is it the theme from the TV show Chips?
No, it's not. It is their own personal one that is sung very passionately by a gentleman.
The California Highway Patrol has
a
theme song.
Love that song. It's beautiful.
What are you talking about?
You've never heard that song?
No.
I thought everyone knew
Omar
that song.
Is that what Omar sent in?
Yeah, we played it at my wedding.
No, you didn't.
My wife and I danced to this. Here's our first song.
Robin, thank you for the tip. Here is the theme song, and I don't think we're kidding about this, right? This is really the song. All right.
A star of gold upon the chest for all to see, wearing the badge of the CHP. And if one of them is taken, what a bigger hug your tall gun holds him close in his arms, never to fall.
Wow.
The badge of trust that's worn with pride, a sense of honor good and justice beats inside.
That's real.
No.
That's real?
From the Broadway show Grapevine.
Robin, why were you on the CHP website looking for and coming across the theme song?
No, I was checking the 15 freeway to see about the closures because I'm going to Vegas next weekend.
Ah, nice. And you came across.
I know why she's going to Vegas, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Guys that write us tickets, right? I mean, that's
I basically... wish they would sing to us as they write us tickets. Then it'd be worthwhile to
that isn't
one.
Good for you. That's a good
no.
tip, Robin. Thank you.
That's chp.ca.gov if you want to check that out for yourself. I think that's a ringtone waiting to happen. Right.
Maybe the best song ever.
Wow.
The badge of the CHP.
That's how my phone is going to ring from now on. Absolutely.
Let's talk to Ben in Whittier on Kevin and Bean's What It Do, Nephew. Ralph, I don't think you've heard about this yet, but this is very exciting news. Hi, Ben. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Go ahead.
Hey, pull us out, everyone.
What it do, nephew?
How's it going, Lisa May?
It's going good, thank you.
Good. Ralph.
Yes, sir.
I just met your mentor, Adam West.
You met the man, the myth, the legend?
Awesome, gentlemen.
Where'd you meet him?
I was one of the mob members for One Versus 100.
Oh, I saw Adam on that show the other night.
Yeah, well, it continues on this Friday.
How did you do? Are you not allowed to say, are you?
Until he asked me a dumb question about Flavor Flav, which I know nothing about.
Oh, how
you
dare you.
It out.
Flavor Flav, he's the man.
Yeah, right.
That's what you get, man.
Yeah, Adam West was one of the mob in One Versus 100.
That's awesome.
Just a complete gentleman. Really was a nice man to speak to and everything. I mean, he took his time to meet everybody.
Are we still talking about Adam West?
He's the greatest guy in the world. That's why.
Okay. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you, Ben.
Ralph, if you could suffocate and kill your own father and make Adam West your dad, would you do it?
What kind of question is that?
No, I think I'd pass on that, Dean.
You'd keep your dad rather than take Adam West as your dad if Adam West agreed to be your dad.
Uh-huh. But can't they just switch places? Why does he have to actually kill his own father?
Murder my father
first.
No,
he has to murder him to make
well,
that
then you're not really an Adam West fan.
But
then.
Can't they
I
just
thought
switch?
You really liked him.
All right, creepy dude. Guess I'll pass then.
I love that 1 versus 100, by the way. I watched it over the weekend, too, where this really annoying chick was up to $100,000 and then lost every penny of it when
was
she missed
a stupid
question.
Was that the blonde chick, the screecher?
Yes, yeah, the screamer.
She's
with all the hand signals, she has to be a former cheerleader or something. But was there ever a more annoying contestant on a television game
I'll
show?
I'll take the mob! That girl.
Yeah. So happy to see her lose.
A couple more real quick. This is Derek in Chino. Good morning, Derek.
Hey, good morning. What it do, nephews?
What it do?
What it do?
Well, I repossess cars for a living. Mm-hmm. And, Friday I went to go repossess the BMW. And so I hook up the car and I knock on the lady's door. And she answers. It's like 1 in the morning. And she's like, oh, my God, you're not taking my car. And I'm like, ma'am, I have to. You know, I'm going to need your keys. And she's like, no, please, no. And she's almost in tears. So she says, come on, come with me so I can get you the keys. And before you know it, she's like, there's got to be something we could do to stop
this. Oh, yeah, I'll do anything.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we get propositions like this all the time, but it never happens. And this one happened.
No kidding.
So you took sex as a bride.
Man.
Nice work. Yeah. And you left her her car?
Oh, yeah, I left her car, but I went back Sunday night, and now it is my car.
So you nailed her, and then you went back a couple days later and took the car.
I got her car Sunday at 5 in the morning.
Aww. Bastard.
You're a bad
dude.
Man.
Well, you're a bad man.
Here's my question for you, Derek, because Bean and I went out with a car repo guy, yeah, and you don't knock on the door. You break into the car and drive off.
No, I lifted it. I got a hideaway, so what I did was I lift the car, and once it's hooked up, it's no longer their car.
Right, but
why do you notify them? Why don't you just take
sometimes,
it?
Sometimes, if we get the keys, we get an extra bonus.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I got you. So you ask first. I got you.
Why wouldn't you go back on Sunday and say, hey, I'm here to take the car again, wink, wink, and then hit yourself a little second portion?
And I don't think she would, because right after we did it, she was like, okay, thanks a lot, and she was like sending me out the door.
Well, yeah, she
made you a deal.
What, do you want to have breakfast? Ass?
You want her to spend the night?
Talk to you for a while? Come on, Derek. Cuddle afterwards?
Give me anymore.
That was the perfect deal.
Yeah. Derek, tell me the honest truth. How hot was she or not?
She was pretty hot for an older woman.
Medium hot.
How old was she?
She looked like she was in her late 30s, early 40s.
Okay. Wow, that old, huh?
Sex is a bride.
Dick. I like it. Okay, fantastic.
Right, so maybe she could still drive in her late 30s. Usually they lose their license at some point, don't they?
Well, the state takes them away
right.
Once you get to 38, right.
You hear through farmer's markets after that age.
You hear, came on to me. You don't necessarily often hear, I took her up on it and just let her have her car for the night.
Sure.
I like that.
If I was a repo guy, that's all I'd be doing. I would never bring a car back. I would just be trading.
Ralph, how
favors.
Come you didn't bring back any cars today?
It was gone when I got there.
But I'm exhausted. Dare we take Kristen's call before we go?
No, we don't have time.
Kristen in Lomita.
Okay, we have time.
I think we have to deal with this.
Hi, Kristen.
Nephews and baby boo, what it do?
What's going on?
What it do, nephew?
Well, I might have to put that CHP song on my MySpace, but I currently have the Federlicious song.
Mm-hmm.
I went to my girl Lola's page to tell her about the news of the new song, and Lola deleted me.
Wait a minute. You're talking about Psycho Mike's dog, Lola, who has a MySpace page.
Yeah, she was my favorite. I had her on my top 8 for a while, but she deleted me.
She deleted you as a friend.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Mike, you know anything about this?
Don't
you have anything to do with Lola's page?
Lola's very fickle. And
she runs her own page?
I can't speak for her. Yeah, I mean, she's a fiery Latina, and sometimes she gets moody.
All right, well, there's some more problems with this than we have time to talk about.
Sleeps with her ass on your face.
I'll talk to her, Christian. I'll see what I can do.
Thanks, Mike.
No problem.
Right. Yeah, but do put this song on your website.
A star of gold upon the chest for all to see. Wearing the badge of the CHP.
I wonder if the sheriffs get angry because they don't have a song like this.
Les Miserables on the 101.
I want to thank all of our many, 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 many guests on the Kevin DeBede Show today, including our pal Petros Papadakis for joining us. He's going to be working with our pal Money over there on the Extra Sports starting at 4 o'clock.
Money and I will be doing a show together very soon, and it'll be spectacular, so everyone should listen.
Well, we'll certainly be looking forward to that, Petrus. Hey, is Hillary Swank going to be calling in, you know?
Yes, I'm going to be a guest on her show. I'm going to talk about football and other sports.
He tried to tell us it wasn't fun to make fun of people with speech impediments.
It's madness.
This is not true.
It's crazy. It's so wrong. Also, thanks to Jim Barry for joining us. He is the spokesperson for the Consumer Electronics Show going on now in Las Vegas through the 11th. Unfortunately, not open to the public, but at least he told you about all the cool stuff you're not going to get to see.
For a couple of years.
Nice.
At least in an exciting way. Tomorrow morning, you're on an airplane and you or somebody else thought you were going to die. And did something about it. Jumped up, ran to the door, some kind of a deal like that.
Freaked
what
out.
Can you do about it?
Well,
there are people who cause enough of a fuss that they turn the plane around and go back. There are people who get removed from the plane. I saw that Final Destination movie. Remember those kids got off the plane and then it ran into the airport. Remember, it exploded.
That isn't good for you.
No, it's not.
So anyway, that's tomorrow morning. We're also going to talk to Dr. Mo, who's going to give us more information about this Lindsay Lohan story that looks completely false.
Great.
Fake.
Appendectomy.
Yep, that's coming up. And K-Rock's World Tour 2007, destination number 2. Don't forget, 30 seconds to Mars in Montreal, Canada. Get on the standby boarding list by winning tickets to see them and The Used and Seosin and Senses Fail, a bunch more at the Taste of Chaos Tour. Friday morning, we're going to do the grand prize drawing.
Awesome.
Kat Corbett's up next here at KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Smashing Pumpkins, also Muse, Linkin Park, The Verve, AFI, and more. Plus new Shins coming up right after this on K-Rock.